If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You know, it's Valentine's Day.
It's almost the 14th of February. So try and guess why I'm so depressed. Wish you would send that Valentine, my friend. Should see the junk mail and all the bills that I've been getting in. And if I get one more thing from Ed McMahon, I'll kill my man, yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Aren't you love, baby? Yeah!
F me, F me, F me.
Welcome to my humble chamber, or as I call it, the Love-nasium.
Ooh. I never want to make love to another man again.
And I never want to make love to another man either.
Ooh.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's St. Valentine's Day! Yes.
And now...
Ooh!
Our feature presentation.
Yes, that's what you thought it was.
Wow. Our big Valentine's Day open?
That was a Valentine's Day open.
Wow.
Good
time. You know
time.
What? You throw a little alcohol into this party and everyone goes all to pieces.
First of all, Beer Mug, who's supposed to be running the controls here.
Yes.
Because Psycho Mike's on vacation.
Yeah.
Just didn't show.
Just opted not to come
what
in.
What the hell?
Not here. Well, we had that St. Patrick's Day party yesterday, and he was DJing, and he was there, and then he got really drunk, and then he got thrown out, and then he had a fight with some people.
That was DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
DJ Omar Khan. Who is here, by the way?
That's the guy who is here.
The guy was blasted drunk.
Yeah.
Started throwing punches at people. He made his way into work this morning.
Yeah. Did you pick the Valentine's Day? Was that your choice?
No, they're just able to open like 1, 2, 3, so I just randomly picked one.
You might want to relabel that one.
Yeah. I'm going to hold off until
like,
February
nope.
for that one. Put that in the February file.
All right, we're going to kick things off with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. That is the phone number for Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. If you get through, you get a pair of tickets to see the LA Galaxy versus the New England Revolution in their 2010 MLS home opener on Saturday, March 27th at Home Depot Center. Soccer's back. Ralph could not be more excited. So let's get into it.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. Let's begin here with Dave, which I think might be the call of the day. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what it do, nephew? Show.
What it do, Dave?
Hey, man, I'm watching the Fox News at 10 last night, and they're doing coverage of the St. Patrick Day stuff at the bar, you
right,
know?
Right.
And in the background, the guy pulls down his pants and starts shaking his jiggly ass.
Oh, awesome.
It was classic, and they tried to, like, focus in on the newscaster so you couldn't see him.
Tried to, like, cut him out of the shot?
They just couldn't cut it out in time.
Love it. He did the right thing. That's what you should do.
I wonder if we've taped that here at the station. I'd love to see that.
What time was it last night?
What's that?
What time was it last night at 10?
10 o'clock, yeah.
10 o'clock news. We'll see if we have that here at the station. That's hilarious.
Although Miss Trail's in charge of that, so.
That's true.
That's a point.
I figured someone was going to be talking about it today, so I figured I'll be the one that calls you.
Right. Well, thank you.
You've got all the butt news covered, Dave.
That's the right thing to do. If there's somebody doing a newscast in front of you, you moon them. I mean, that's in the rule book.
Right.
I don't know about rule book. All right, 1-800-520-1067. A few lines are open. Let's go to Sarah right now. Hi, Sarah.
No, you were just talking about moving.
Yes.
I have a funny story real fast.
Yes.
My friend, she moved 500 people.
I'm sorry, what?
You moved 500? Get a hold of yourself, Sarah.
What's happening right now? Are you drunk?
I'm on my way to work.
You're already at work. Good. So your friend mooned 500 people.
At one time.
Right.
One time.
It was just great to see 500 faces in a butt hanging out.
Well, what did he do? Hanging out of a helicopter? How did he hit that many people at once?
People were in line.
People were in line?
for?
Trying to make sense of what Sarah said.
You're useless to us this morning.
Okay. So
we're from out of town, and we were wondering why people in California drive like jerks.
Wait, you've changed topics now?
She did.
Oh, I changed topics.
Now, but did you also change
jobs? I thought you were on your way to work.
I thought you were already at work.
I'm on my way to work, but I'm sitting in traffic on the 10 right now.
And then where did the Texas accent come out of all of a sudden?
She's from out of town.
We're not from here. We're not from here.
Did you hear that when she was talking about mooning?
Not too much.
All right.
So I want to know why people don't know how to drive out here. I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm going to punch somebody.
Wow. That's a great question with no answer.
A lot of cars. That's the problem. We have a lot of cars out here.
We have a lot of cars, and we have a lot of people who don't realize there's any other car out there but them.
And we have people from out of town who don't know where they're going.
That's mainly
it. The other thing.
It's mainly the people from Texas that are gunking it all up.
Yeah.
Where are you from,
maybe,
Sarah?
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
From just Texas.
Just Texas. Just want to get more specific.
It's kind of a big state.
Yeah, see the car.
Yeah, I'm from Dallas.
All right. Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. In Texas, usually the cars are on the front lawn on blocks.
That's true.
Here they're on the roads.
That's true. You don't have the same traffic in Dallas?
It's not this bad, no. And I get cut off all the time, and I've just had it. I get the finger a lot.
You should.
Well,
if people are giving you the finger,
it's not
because they're driving like jerks.
Well, right now, I shouldn't be talking on my phone and driving, I guess.
No, that's true.
This is a good thing to do.
I guess so.
So here's what I'm saying. If you're in traffic and people are driving like jerks and you're getting flipped off, perhaps you're the person driving like a jerk.
No, it's not me, though. I see it all over the road.
I see.
All right. Well, I can think of one less car we need on the road right now.
Not mine. I'm a good driver.
Right. No, you are a good driver. That's what we meant.
All right.
We haven't crashed yet.
We haven't crashed yet. Well, the day's young.
That's how you judge it. Thank you for the call. Where are you from in Texas?
Texas.
Just Texas.
Texas. We get around a lot.
Either she doesn't know or she didn't want us to narrow in on anything about her. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
It's Thursday morning. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew today.
Oh, that's right.
Actually starting a weekly segment with Dr. Drew on Thursday, so every Thursday we'll talk to him.
Well, I think we have some candidates right here on our show for the next celebrity rehab, perhaps. People who should be heading in for some treatment.
Need an intervention?
I think that's in order.
Last night was the first episode of the 14th season of South Park, and it was all about sex addiction in Tiger Woods.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
14 seasons of South Park. Can you believe it's been on that long?
Crazy. But they turn into a video game, and all the boys are playing it, and you can pick Elon or Tiger, and then they start fighting with clubs and stuff. And then they act like, oh, yeah, we need to explain what this sex addiction is, because what are you talking about? Guys grow up, and they get money, and then they want to have sex with a bunch of different women? What kind of disease is that? And the guys are all looking at each other like, all right. So anyway, we'll maybe play some clips for Dr. Drew, find out what he thinks about that, as he is a sex addiction specialist as well. Matt Money Smith will be here in the studio talking about all kinds of sports, talking about March Madness. Very exciting. That begins today. Mm-hmm. We got to get into this Farmville. Have you played or seen Farmville?
I just know Dave's all over.
I'm just familiar with it because they try to, when you go on Facebook, they try to jam you up with this thing all the time. They want you to join, and this person got a stack, a bale of wheat or something.
Yep.
And they get all kinds of prizes and stuff. I have no idea what it's all about, but I always see it on Facebook.
They say 80 million people a month play.
That's craziness.
Yeah. It's even more crazy when you see what it is. I was sitting in the office with Dave 2 days ago, or yesterday, I have no idea. I have no memory.
Yesterday was our St. Patrick's Day show. I doubt you were there yesterday.
I wasn't there yesterday. It was the day before. And he was playing this Farmville, and he was all bragging and saying stuff. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Oh, look at my tractor.
My corn is 8% grown.
I was like,
80 million people a month do
look,
this?
I have a mule.
It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad.
Watch this. I'm gonna harvest my pomegranate trees. He said at one point.
Really?
I wrote that down. I was like, what the? So anyway, Farmville blows, and I don't know why you people play it. St. Patrick's Day recap, perhaps?
What?
Seems like a good idea.
Like you remember what happened yesterday at St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, no, he's hoping people will call in and tell us.
Remind
us what happened.
Yeah.
Good time yesterday.
Hangover cures.
That would come in handy right about now.
Later in the show, we always take calls, and people have bizarre hangover cures, but...
And they swear by them.
Some people say that it really is fail-safe. This will help.
Look, if it works, it works.
Right. So we're going to take those calls. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson's new $250 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see him getting some money and some work.
It's hard to spend where he is.
It really is, yes, but doesn't mean he doesn't have it. So we got that, and we've got Ralph's Showbiz Beat, and we're going to do that when we come back. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
What happened yesterday?
Not sure.
What the hell happened?
I'm not positive. We'll get a recap in the next hour, though. We'll have people call.
You know what happened to me yesterday? Please call and let me know. I would appreciate that. Everything's hazy from around 9:30 on.
I was at about 8:30 when I lost it.
I did wake up this morning and check my voicemail on my cell phone. And I was happy to find out that I am now the part owner of a racehorse, apparently, yesterday. That happened.
What?
Yes. So I'm going to... Hey, Ralph, we talked yesterday. This is your buddy. We talked yesterday about the horse. About the horse, and what you know, you're in. We'd love to have you on board. Now you're part owner of a racehorse.
That conversation happened. You have no memory.
Apparently it did. Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing Sharktopus race in the next Belmont Stakes.
You hear Ralph doing that, too. Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Sounds great.
He does love the horses.
I love horse racing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got involved with a conglomerate, but apparently we own a horse now.
You know how much of it you own?
Nope. It could be in a glue factory for all I know. I bought that horse. I have no
idea.
All
right, we're going to need your $120,000 by Friday.
Exactly. There's going to be a bunch of guys in a sedan going to come to my house with a baseball bat. If I don't pay up, I don't know what's going on. I made some bad decisions
That's
yesterday.
Awesome, really.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Kevin Costner's wife, Christine, is pregnant with his 7th child.
Oh, my God.
He's got 2 children with Christine, who is a young hottie, by the way.
Yeah.
4 from previous relationships. So Costner is he's shooting for Mel Gibson's title, I think, which is most celebrity kids. Also pregnant, Amy Poehler. She and her husband, Will Arnett, apparently are having another baby. They've already got a 16-month-old toddler named Archie. So she's going to squirt out another one.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And Danica McKellar. Remember Danica McKellar from Wonder Years? She played Winnie on that show?
Yes. Sure.
She and her husband are also expecting. She now writes math books for girls, Danica McKellar. She's like this math genius.
And is that code?
She's encouraged. No. She encourages women to get into math. She majored in math at UCLA and has written Math Doesn't Suck and Kiss My Math.
Kiss My Math?
2 books on math and trying to get women interested in math. Because, you know, traditionally women don't really study math and sciences so much.
Right.
Trying to encourage that. She loves math.
She does. But I'm trying to figure out where math is in this equation of kissing.
Kiss my math.
Yeah.
This is sad news if it's true. Take it for what it's worth. It does come from People and In Touch Weekly magazines, but apparently one of Hollywood's most successful couples is on the rocks. Sandra Bullock and Jesse James apparently in trouble.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Here's the thing. A woman by the name of Michelle Bombshell McGee. Her nickname is Bombshell.
Yeah.
She is a tattoo model. She has revealed to In Touch Weekly magazine that she had an affair with Jesse James. Maintains it was pretty serious.
Okay.
She alleges that they had unprotected sex at least once a week, were texting constantly, and were hooking up while Sandra Bullock was filming The Blind Side in Atlanta. Apparently, Sandra Bullock has left the house with the 2 share currently. This is, again, according to People magazine. So, Sandra's also canceled her appearance at the London premiere of The Blind Side due to unforeseen personal reasons. So it looks like there may be some truth to this rumor, but that would be a shame because they're really a good couple.
And, you know, at the Oscars, it sure...
They were sitting next to each other. Yeah, they seemed funny. Yeah.
Well, this story
just
broke.
He got really teary-eyed when she accepted.
Maybe because he knew the story was coming out. He's like, no.
I hope it's not true. I like it.
I hope it's not true, too.
Good
guy.
We'll have to wait and see. NBC has picked up not one, but 2 more editions of The Apprentice. Another Celebrity Apprentice is already in the works. This one is doing so well in the ratings, out of the chute. And they're bringing back the regular Apprentice, too. With a twist, all the contestants in the regular Apprentice...
Are retarded?
Are retarded, yes. The Retarded Apprentice.
Come on, would that be the best show ever?
I would watch it.
You're fired. So should I come back tomorrow? No, you're fired. All right, see you tomorrow. Could never fire anybody. We just keep showing up to work. No, all the contestants will be people who have been personally hit by the recession. So they lost their jobs due to downsizing.
Okay.
These people are indebting careers that no one has really a need for anymore. These are college graduates with no job prospects. So everyone who's been affected by this bad economy will be entered into the contestant pool for The Apprentice. So, It's a way to make it sort of more current, I suppose.
Yeah, and I can see why you would want to do that as a contestant, too, because even if you don't win, at least you've got, you know, some...
And people have seen you.
People could have seen you.
Hire
right?
you.
Be
yeah.
impressed with you
or
whatever.
Monster.com on a grand scale.
Sure.
Maybe someone will hire you. And lastly, we missed out yesterday. This is what we should have been drinking. You know the Iron Chef, that TV show, the competition cooking show? Contestant named Richard Blaze yesterday unveiled his new drink for St. Patrick's Day. It's called the Corned Beef Collins. It is Irish whiskey, corned beef drippings, and cabbage water.
Oh, gross.
What, does they want to throw up right away?
Apparently.
Really? That sounds terrible.
Well, it saves you the time of throwing up because it's already vomit in the glass, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, that's his new drink. He unveiled it yesterday, and he's trying to get it to become the official drink of St. Patrick's
that's
Day.
That's a joke.
No, I kid you not. He's Irish whiskey, corned beef drippings, and cabbage water.
He's going to go, you'll never believe what I got people to drink today.
I can't imagine he's going to win Iron Chef, but he is a contestant on the show, so... Today's celebrity birthdays, Adam Levine of Maroon 5. He is 31 years old today. Kevin loves Adam Levine from Maroon 5. Or Maroon 5.
Yeah.
He's constantly asking for some love for him. I don't know why.
I'm not really, but...
Dane Cook, the comedian, is 38 years old today. Queen Latifah celebrates her 40th birthday. Guitarist Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 44 years old. And singer and actress Vanessa Williams, former Miss America. Remember those pictures they had of her in Penthouse that cost her her crown? Mm-hmm. So it was going to be the end of her career.
Yeah.
And now she's the most successful Miss America ever. She is 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have a highlights, recap, what we can remember from St. Patrick's Day yesterday coming up next.
Yeah.
So maybe if you can help with that, we might need you in about 10
fill
minutes.
In the blanks.
Michael Jackson just made a new $250 million deal, so he's still rolling.
Good for him.
Yeah. Seems hard to spend, like Ralph says, but all right. Talk sports coming up with Matt Money Smith. Dr. Drew on the
communism.
Phone. We have hangover cures, but right now we have to talk to Dave the King of Mexico, who's our assistant producer.
Farmville. Farmville.
Hurry up.
Why?
Yeah, dude. I got some potatoes that are about to harvest. Go click them, man.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I had a conversation with Dave 2 days ago about Farmville, and I wrote down what he said.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask you, did you say this?
Yeah.
Did these words come out of your mouth? All right. The first one is... Check out my pink fence.
Check out my pink fence.
Did you say that?
Is that a euphemism?
Well, I mean...
Did you say it?
Yes, I did. It's because my pink fences are around my nursery, which I have all my flowers.
All right, Ralph. Yeah, you already made up your mind, I know. This started, I think, on Facebook. It's a big Facebook thing, but they
That's
say...
That's where I've always seen it was on Facebook.
They say 80 million people a month do this.
What is this? Is it like Sims? Is it like a fictional sort of...
Yeah, yeah, it's like you're...
It's like nowhere near as good.
It's like a virtual farm you have.
Virtual farm, yes.
You raise crops.
You raise trees, flowers, crops, animals.
All right. Did you say, watch this, I'm going to harvest my pomegranate trees? Bang, 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 he started saying when he was
coming. Come at me, bang, bang.
You want to throw?
Lampley?
And I got 80 coins for them, dude. It's good times.
And what do you do with your coins?
I buy things with them, Lisa.
Like
I buy
what?
Products. I buy, I could buy animals. I could buy trees. I could buy, a barn. Like, I bought a...
Bang! 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 Bang!
That was him yesterday.
And do you have to deal with, weather conditions?
You know what? I wish that would be included, but you don't.
Yeah, that would be...
How cool would that be if you have to worry about,
A drought or...
Yeah.
All right, did you say the words? I'm going to try and do my day, but I don't do a very good day. Look, I let my animals walk around, and now it looks all messy.
That is true.
Did you say that?
I have them fenced in, but I don't have the fences closed off, so somehow they escape through the through the little creeks. And
right.
So through the creeks?
Yeah, the little cracks of the fence, and I put gnomes in front of them. And,
Now my
elephants are walking everywhere. My goats are everywhere.
Dave,
you know, it's,
Dave.
Doesn't there have to be some...
range.
They're free range, yes.
This, by the way, has completely taken over the world. Isn't there anything better than this to play
on? I want
on?
A farm.
if you've got an opinion on Farmville, give us a call. Feel free, 1-800-520-1067. Dave, let me ask you, how much of your time do you waste on this thing? How much time a day do you spend on your fake farm in your head?
All of it. During the show or during the whole day?
100%.
Across the board. Just give me a round figure. How much time per day do you think you spend on this BS farm that doesn't exist?
10 minutes during the show every hour. Probably about an hour a day.
You got to keep it
on an hour a day.
About an hour a day, yeah.
All right. Did you say these words? Here's my beckoning cat for Chinese New Year.
Isn't it cool? The arm goes down. It's all...
Don't look at me. Look at him. I don't know.
What's just a beckoning cat?
You know those cats that are in every Chinese store for good luck?
No, I don't know.
Well, if you go to Chinatown, you'll see them in every store.
Yeah.
It's just that.
How many coins? How many coins did that cost you? You
must have. I think about 300.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of harvesting. All right. Did you say, check out my groovy scarecrow? Do you use the words groovy and scarecrow back to back? Did you?
Hey, I didn't name it. They named it.
Yes or no?
But I have two of them, yes.
You have two groovy scarecrows.
Got to keep away the crows, my friend.
Did you say, dude, my sunflowers are only 8% grown?
I might have mentioned that,
yes. You said that, yeah.
Yes.
What is the attraction for you, Dave, for this BS fake farm?
I wish it was just him.
Why do you like it?
It's so popular. That's what I can't understand.
I don't know.
What's in it for you?
I don't know what's about it. It's just like bright and color. It's shiny and
shiny.
It's bright and shiny.
It's just a
what are you, a magpie?
I get a click a lot. I don't know if you know this, Ralph, but I kind of got like ADD with my
mouse. Oh, yeah.
I know. So I get a click a lot, and that...
But here's what I'm saying.
That helps a lot.
I know that without boring jobs, this would not exist. I'm guessing most of the people doing it at work.
This is
bored.
American productivity at its finest.
They're not busy, so they go check on their farm, whatever. And if that didn't exist, it wouldn't exist. But did you or did you not say, check this out, I mastered the eggplant? Did you say that?
I did.
Yep.
But not only the eggplant, I mastered wheat, artichokes, and watermelons.
Come on! Give it up!
How do you master an eggplant?
Well, there's only a certain amount that you need to harvest before you master them.
So you grow it, and you harvest it, and then it's mastered.
Watermelons take 4 days.
You don't have to tell me.
Dude, it's insane.
That is insane.
Let's go to Leela.
Yes.
Tell us about Farmville, because...
I hate Farmville.
Yeah, me too.
And I hate people who freaking play it and have it displayed on my Facebook. My mom plays Farmville and begs us to be her neighbor.
Yeah.
And please,
begs
I will
you to be her neighbor.
Yes, just be my neighbor.
It's pathetic.
I get points to get extra credits or whatever for being neighbors and having a neighborhood. And
I asked Dave yesterday, I was like, what age? Because this can't be a young thing. This can't. No one that's under, say, 75 is playing Farmville. And
well,
he said, no, it's mostly 50. Yeah, it's mostly older people.
It's 35 plus.
35 plus.
No. I have people at work who are my age. I'm 27.
And they play?
And they're playing it.
Wow.
It's the stupidest, awfulest game I've ever heard.
Maybe what we need is alternatives to Farmville. I mean, maybe that's a call-in topper where we go, listen, people, you're harvesting crops.
Anything else.
Just anything that
doesn't. That's my alternative. Anything else on the internet.
That just doesn't suck.
How about porn? How about a game? How about playing a game where you actually win at the end of it?
Dave, did you or
Bubble Town or something?
Chuzzle's a good one.
I love Chuzzle.
That's a gay one, though. Did you or did you not say, I'm working on the knock-on-wood ribbon?
Yes. Yes. I believe that's when you harvest a certain amount of plants.
Sure. Brandon?
Trees.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Farmville?
What's your take on Farmville?
Oh, it is the gayest thing I've ever seen. Not just 27-year-olds are doing it. Even, like, the younger kids are doing it. I've seen young as 15 going it. I think, personally, it's the new phase, like Twilight. You know, you have your Twi-tards. Now you have your Farm-tards.
Farm-tards. I like it.
Farm-tards.
Dave's a Farm-tard.
I like it. He's coined a phrase. Good.
I'll take that.
It's like Dungeons & Dragons for farmers.
But, Kevin, do you have a villa?
Do you have a villa? No, he doesn't have a villa.
Me and George Clooney have one.
Hold on, let me get to that line. That's a little further down.
All right, cool, sorry.
Because Miss Cleo said, I don't see a farmhouse. And he said, I don't need a farmhouse. I got a villa, bitch. It came out of his mouth.
You know you don't have a villa, right, Dave?
He does.
I do.
I've seen it.
You live in a bunker.
1.5 million coins, dude. It took me about 2 months to get.
You're so sad.
That's way worth
it. It automatically jumps you up
you
one experience
tragic.
Level. Oh, so awesome.
Oh, I cannot believe Former's Double December sleeps with you.
I know.
That's insane.
Hey,
probably
Matt.
Plays with him.
Hey, take it easy. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
You play this game all the time?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, my boy. Now, there's nothing better. I mean, I know you need a time waster. I get the boredom at work thing, but this is it? This is as good as the time wasting gets at work?
I play like four games on there, but there was another one called Farm Town that I think I stayed up for like 6 hours playing, trying to build up my money.
Yeah, oh, man. Because then when you build up your money, they send you a check and you get real money?
No.
No, not at all. You get nothing real out of it, do you, Matt?
Not really.
No.
Right. Yeah, Farmtown tried to challenge
Farmville.
I want to
play Farmtown. That's a game I want to play.
That sounds much better.
Farmtown versus Farmville.
They sacked off.
Yeah, they tried to come up, but Farmville represented and just said, nah, we're going to continue to rule.
Did you or did you not say, look at my mother effing French bread cart?
I bought that just for you, man.
Did you say that?
I bought that just for you.
Did you say those words?
Yeah.
You bought that for me.
Yeah, well, you know,
because I really wanted that.
You are a little bitch.
He was sitting there on Farmville, and I was just in his ear screaming at him, what are you doing? And he kept trying to show me how cool it was.
My French bread cart.
Did you not see my geese and my ducks and my penguins and my turtles? They were all around the pond. How cool is that?
So then, here's the coup de grace. Apparently, you can take care of other people's farms, like that girl said her mom wanted her to be your neighbor.
If they go out of town or something, you can pick up their mail. And
so we have a friend named Sheckler, and Dave says, this, watch this, this is Sheckler's farm. He let everything die, so I'm taking care of it, because I feel bad. I feel bad for his elephants.
Come on, they're just chilling there.
They're not real, Dave!
But...
Are you going to have to do this forever?
And it was a sad farm because Sheckler did let everything die. I mean, it was a sad little farm.
You know why? Because Sheckler got a life. So he let his fake farm die. Good for him. Good for Sheckler.
He got out alive before it took his soul.
Oh, man. You guys are hating, but it's so much fun. But you guys try it.
It's not fun.
I'm going to send you all requests. Boom. I'm going to send you some gold. I'm going to start you off
right.
You're going
to send us some gold?
Yeah, right now they have gold because of St. Patty's, but, you know, I'm going to send you some gold.
I'm going to send that right over. I'll get right on.
Yeah, I'm going to napalm your farm. I'm going to drop a nuclear bomb on your farm. That's the only way I'll play, if I can just strafe your farm with missiles and bullets.
That's what we need, everybody has the shortcuts and the cheats and stuff like that. Yeah. We need to learn how to destroy people's farms so we can just take Dave out.
Yes.
Just take him out.
Dude, once you see my cuddly elephants, you won't want to do it.
Enough said. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the day after St. Patrick's Day. And a little bit later, we're going to look for some hangover cures.
Yes, please.
As some are needed. We're sending out for food right now. It was an unclear day. I'll give you that.
Got a little murky towards the end.
Towards the end of the show.
Big crowd, though. Thanks to people down at the Casey's Bar downtown in Los Angeles.
Great time.
They were great.
Yeah, they were great.
They said next year they're closing down streets and stuff. They want to have us back.
Wow.
I was like, all right.
I think we closed down some streets yesterday, whether we were allowed to or not.
There were a couple of highlights. One, we had a guy in the crowd who wanted to call in sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called his boss, and his boss answered the phone and was there as well at another part of the crowd. How bizarre is that?
He's like, I'm watching you on the TV right now.
Right. He's in another part of the club. There, though.
That's the best.
How great is that?
And your boss is already
Listen, I'm not going to make it because I know I'm here. That was awesome. That's the kind of boss you need right there. That guy should never quit that job. Omar got thrown out. I don't know if you saw this, Ralph, but...
I ran into Omar as I was leaving the bar.
Yeah. Outside? Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. That was after he got thrown out.
And I saw security...
Mm-hmm.
Grab him and haul him outside.
They did, yes.
It's bogus, man.
It isn't bogus. First of all, here's what happened. It was about, I don't know, 1 o'clock? What, 12? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Lose track. So, but we were up at the bar, and Omar decided that he didn't want to wait to be served.
Ah.
So he walked around behind the bar and started helping himself.
Self-serve.
Omar.
I see.
So not only was he pouring his own drink, he was taking orders from people and starting to make their drinks.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
So helping him out, dude.
So the security, two giant security guards go rushing back there and they grab him. And they come by me and they look at me like, he works for you guys, you know, what should we do? And I said, what do you normally do? And they said, throw him out. And I was like, throw him out. Toss him.
Aren't you quite the friend,
wow,
Kevin? Thanks a lot. Well, I didn't get in trouble.
He's back there behind the bar?
You could say, you know what? I'll take care of him.
Nope.
He's off.
Have you ever taken care of Omar when he's like that?
No, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, it's not possible.
I'm suicidal.
It is impossible. But anyway, that's why he got thrown out. Apparently, one of our interns was throwing up out the side of the K-Rock van all the way back.
Yeah, I missed that, but I heard she was not well.
Yeah. So the K-Rock van, the van is driving down the street, and then there's, you know.
Oh, that doesn't look good.
There's fluids exiting the window.
She's decorating the street while they're driving for St. Patrick's Day.
And people would call and go.
Dear God.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but somebody is in your van throwing up.
And we're a classy bunch.
And by the way, best case scenario, it all went out, but that didn't happen.
No.
Just for the record. And we're going to need your help because Ralph bought a horse.
Yeah. Somehow I'm a partial owner in a racehorse now.
And we're not sure how that happened or who it was that was talking to him about it.
It happened yesterday at some point.
But he got a congratulations email. We're not sure what he owes, what his part of the racehorse is. Is that a racehorse?
Yeah, it's a thoroughbred racehorse as far as the message was concerned.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Who knew? I mean, you knew yesterday when you went there. You didn't know you were going to be a racehorse owner.
This morning, I didn't know I was going to be a racehorse owner. But apparently, between this morning and yesterday, it happened.
This is why we do St. Patrick's Day about every other year. Yeah. It just takes a while to get our feet.
We are going to have to skip next year. I'm pretty sure
we have a meeting at 10:30, which is going to be fun.
Yeah,
that's going
to
be good.
The bosses would like to have a conversation with us. Apparently,
yes, they would. I think they're going to give us medals of honor.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, it's going to be like Star Wars at the end, where everybody gets a medal put around their neck.
Accommodations. That's <what's... laughs> This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you saw this report recently, but Michael Jackson just made the biggest recording deal in history.
Really?
Well, not Michael Jackson, the estate of Michael Jackson. $250 million guaranteed contract with Sony Music.
Boy, would he like that money.
Man, would he like to have spent that. Before that, the biggest ones were Madonna with $120 million and Jay-Z with $150 million. This is $250 million.
Dear God.
$200 million guaranteed. And it's based on like a new CD that's coming out with all new music.
Really?
And some other DVDs that are going to be put out. I mean, and Capitanio was going back to, you know, Disneyland and all that stuff. So he really is having a great career right now.
Yes, his career is soaring.
So we thought maybe it was time to check in with Michael Jackson in heaven and just find out how things are going for him up there. Hey, Mike.
Help!
What's happening?
Help! Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Good. $250 million.
What the fruit?
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Now, how much were you in debt? Was it $300-400 million?
$400 million.
Okay.
When I died.
Mm-hmm.
I was in debt. So this doesn't even cover the debt.
Okay.
So suck it. Family members are looking to make money off my name.
Oh, no. Is that happening now? Is that your family are trying to get a piece of the action?
The Jackson estate, which is my dad, basically. Yeah.
Your dad's bad, right?
And they're trying to make money off of me now that I'm dead. And I showed them I spent twice that much before I died.
You did. Who knew?
So now what? Now what are you going to do?
Now what, bitches?
That's right.
When the biggest deal that's ever been made for a recording artist doesn't cover the debt, you're in trouble.
I spent a lot of money.
You did, yeah.
But there's some exciting projects that are going to be coming out of this, so that's worthwhile.
Okay. Like, can you tell us any more details?
We're going to re-release Off the Wall, my fifth solo album, which was great, and with some additional material.
That was like from 1978, 79, 79. 80? 79?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why?
Because
it was good.
It's off the wall.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to have a video game, too.
A video game?
Yes.
Like for what? For computers or for Xbox?
Yeah, computers, yeah.
Okay.
It'll be like Farmville.
Right.
Only you raise children instead of crops.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Michael.
And you get
Michael.
To harvest them.
Michael.
Come on!
Really?
Put a fence around them.
You can't.
Yeah.
Michael, no. you can't talk like that. No one will buy it.
Elementaryville, I'll call it.
Oh, God.
Elementary Schoolville.
I don't think.
I'm still working out the details.
Are they asking you for your input?
Nope.
Okay.
They're getting it anyway. And by input, I mean, you know, input.
I'm afraid of what you mean.
Yeah, it's a euphemism.
For something else that's worse.
Okay. Get him out!
All right. Thank you, Mike. Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and don't forget we are presenting Kings of Leon July 12th at the Hollywood Bowl. Listen all week long to win tickets, plus you qualify to be, quote, king for a day.
Ah.
And what that involves is front row seats for you and three friends.
Wow.
A meet and greet with Kings of Leon.
Wow.
A dressing room backstage.
Wow.
You get to intro the band on the stage.
Wow.
You get your name on the tickets.
Wow.
You get your name on the marquee.
Wow.
You're running out of energy, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you get VIP parking.
Wow.
So you get all that.
That is sweet.
You can qualify for that coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:48, and Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, this is tragic news. Sandra Bullock and Jesse James apparently on the rocks, their relationship. According to In Touch Weekly magazine and People magazine, In Touch Weekly did a story with a woman named Michelle Bombshell McGee, who is a tattoo model. And apparently, she had an affair, she claims, with Jesse James. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not, but several news sources are now reporting that Sandra Bullock has moved out of the home that she and Jesse James share and has canceled her appearance in London for the premiere of Blindside due to unforeseen personal reasons. So we'll have to wait and see how things shake down.
But, bombshell because she's hot or bombshell because she's dropping a bombshell of information?
Well, her name's Michelle, so I think her work name, her model name is Michelle Bombshell.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Bombshell because her name's Shell.
Gotcha. So,
all right.
And she's got a website, michellebombshell.com, if you want to go to that.
I would never.
And she's Dave's least favorite kind of girl ever, because she's just tatted all over. She's good, head to toe.
But super hot.
Because she's very
hot. I imagine.
She's attractive, right. Yes. So we'll have to see what happens there, but it's a shame.
Dave, by the way, is now known as Farmville.
Farmville? That's his new nickname?
Yeah.
You know you're a bad mom when you're getting advice from Kendra Wilkinson.
Oh,
she is, of course,
really?
The former Playboy playmate who was Hugh Hefner's girlfriend for many years. Before she left, struck out on her own, married football player Hank Baskett and had a baby with him. She is talking about how she thinks Kate Gosselin is a bad mom.
Really, what a tough call that is.
Yeah, if Kendra Wilkinson says you're a bad mom, you're a bad mom.
Yeah.
She turned down a gig on Dancing with the Stars, Kendra Wilkinson did, because she didn't want to spend so much time away from her newborn baby. Kate Gosselin took the gig and is spending all that time away from her 8 babies.
Yeah.
So Kendra Wilkinson says she's questioning Kate Gosselin's mothering skills.
Meanwhile, Kendra has her own reality show.
Yes.
So she is still on TV.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to go anywhere to do it.
By the way,
but if she didn't have the show, I wonder if she would have made a different choice.
The other thing about Kate Gosselin is that my kids used to watch that show. I don't recognize her. I see pictures of her now.
Yeah, she looks like a totally different.
For Dancing with the Stars, I would not have any idea it's her. So completely different.
She loves being a star, that's for sure.
Yeah. She must have had more plastic surgery than Heidi Montag. I mean, she really must have had everything done.
No kidding.
She's in the witness relocation program.
Kirstie Alley's got a new weight loss book.
Oh, good.
How to Lose Your Ass and Regain Your Life.
How to Not Lose Weight.
Have you seen her?
She's giant.
How is she writing a weight loss book?
She's got a new reality show coming up about how big she is and how she's trying to lose weight.
And she's got a series of weight loss products coming
out.
Yeah.
Stuff you take to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's a big brouhaha this week because she went on Today's show to promote all this stuff. And Meredith Vieira, who works on the Today Show, had the gall to ask her if there was a connection between the sales of her weight loss products and money going into the coffers of Scientology.
It's a good question.
It is a good question. And Kirstie Alley went ballistic and called it BS and said live on the air, and now there's big brouhaha. Huh. Because it turns out that the address for the offices of her weight loss products are in the same offices as the Scientology offices down in Clearwater, Florida.
Wow. Oh,
so apparently that's what's giving people the illusion that there's some sort of connection, although Kirstie denies it.
Hmm.
And is still fat. So don't buy her products.
Well, she's not taking them. We know that.
If she is, they're not working. And in the wake of Corey Haim's passing, of course, a lot of child stars are being interviewed about their own trials and tribulations. Todd Bridges is no different. You may remember him from the 80s sitcom Different Strokes. What you talk about, Willis?
Sure.
He was Willis. He's got a new book out called Killing Willis, by the way.
His character.
His character.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And talked about how at the end of the 80s sitcom, his life took an abrupt downturn.
Yeah.
Drug addiction caused him eventually to be living on the streets. He said he became a real-life pimp.
Oh, my
gosh. Had a stable
gosh.
Of women in order to support his drug habit.
Wow.
And he said pretty much hated himself and hated his life by the time it all came crashing down.
He's a pimp.
But now he's recovered, and he's helping other people recover as well. So good for Todd Bridges.
Is he still pimping?
I don't think he's pimping.
No.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
I hear that.
Oh, man.
That's true.
I'm just saying, I heard it. And it looks like Conan O'Brien is close to getting a deal with Fox Television for
is
his own
right?
late-night talk show.
11:30?
No, sir. 11 p.m. Which would give him a jump on Jay Leno and David Letterman's shows.
Interesting. So that would be against the news on all the other channels, right?
Exactly.
Ah.
Daily Variety says that Conan's current live tour plans were conceived in part to help illustrate his fan base and create some excitement for a possible TV deal. And looks like it paid off. No announcement yet, but apparently Conan and Fox are very close to a deal.
How about that?
So we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Is he a pimp, too?
He is not a pimp.
No.
Simon Cowell's getting married in September, according to PopEater.com. But he's not too concerned about the accoutrement of the wedding. Flowers, food, no, that kind of stuff. His main concern is the entertainment. Word is that Simon has booked Elton John to perform at his wedding.
I guess if he could.
That's pretty cool.
Right? I mean, none of us have that option, but I guess if I did have that option, then, you know.
Yeah, he'd probably do it.
Get Eminem, maybe.
They're pals, apparently, Simon and Elton.
It doesn't get much worse than that.
And Elton said he's going to be happy to do it.
Huh.
I heard a rumor that Elton John may take over for Simon on American Idol as one of the judges.
Yeah, I thought that had been discounted, no?
I know. Huh. We'll have to wait and see next season what happens. Of course, Simon is marrying Mishkin Husseini, who is a 36-year-old makeup artist who worked on American Idol. That's how the two met. So congratulations to those two. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 31 years old today. Comedian? Actor? Dane Cook is 38 years old.
A lot of question marks in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he does. Queen Latifah is 40 years old. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 44. And Vanessa Williams, singer and actress, most recently on Ugly Betty. She's 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Former sports guy Matt Money Smith has joined us in the studio.
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening? Oop, a wrong microphone.
That's all right.
There you go.
Am I all right?
Hey,
do I have to move away from Lisa?
You don't really need
No, come this way.
Okay. You don't really need a microphone as much as most people.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It was pretty regular occurrence when I was working here. I'd be talking. We're on the air. Sorry
about that.
My bad.
We're not exactly professionals.
No, I most definitely am not. I mean, that's quite clear.
Let's talk about March Madness.
Yeah, why not? It starts in about 2 hours.
How great is that?
It is the best. And, you know, it's funny. I stumbled on a story yesterday. I didn't stumble on it. It seemed to be pretty prevalent in the news, you know, all the dot-coms. Did you know, Mr. Vasectomy, that dudes get more vasectomies this weekend, starting today, than any other time of the calendar year?
Why?
And it's such a giant increase. It's like 150% more because they know they have 9:20 a.m.
Oh,
all the way
really?
Until 9:20 p.m. just to sit on the couch with some frozen peas on their balls
and recover.
And yeah,
and their wives can say nothing.
That's right.
They don't have to deal with any daytime TV, no nightly news, no Colleen Williams at 5 o'clock. None
How
of that.
About that,
you just sit and watch basketball
Six
for 12
games
hours
in a row.
Yeah, that's pretty
is
great.
Hilarious.
Yeah, wow. So if you're thinking about getting snipped, just see if you can get a last minute rush in there and
yeah,
knock
that's
it out.
What you want a last minute one?
Yeah,
yes. Anyone that'll take you, just go.
Don't think through that decision. Just do it. Like our man Lightning did way back in the day. When I shaved his balls.
Yeah, that was. Let's not talk about that
awesome.
If you don't mind. So the tourney begins what time? 9 o'clock?
9:20 is BYU versus Florida, which should be a good game. Here's the thing about the tournament. You know, people bitch and moan, and college basketball isn't what it used to be. And remember when it was the Fab Five of Michigan? It's great. It is the greatest single sporting event of the year because you don't really know a lot about
right.
a lot of the teams,
right.
but you're totally engrossed. You know, you start pulling for the Murray State Racers and you're losing your mind. You're yelling at your TV, your heart's beating, and that happens for 10 days over the course of 20 days,
it
10
is,
days of games.
It is, for me, the thing that I love the most that I have the least invested in. I don't care who wins.
Maybe that's why it makes it more fun in a
way. I don't have a favorite college team. I just...
Well, that's what I think what happens is...
And you end up watching fantastic basketball games between two people. You really don't care who wins.
Well, think about this. You know, and Lisa, you'll be able to relate to this probably more than Kevin, because Kevin's a sports fan, and
right.
he can sit down and watch a hockey game or a basketball game, and he knows who's who, but... You always feel like you're in the dark, you know? Like, this would be a lot more fun if I knew
if
who
I knew
the hell
someone.
Was on the New Orleans Saints. I
right.
mean, I'm happy they're in the Super Bowl, but who the hell follows the Saints all year?
Right.
So, in basketball, everyone's in that same boat. Nobody knows who's on, you know, UTEP. I mean, you know Pickaxe Pete when he's running up and down the sideline with that giant head and the mascot, but you don't know anybody on that team. Yet when they upset, you know, a 5 seed,
right.
you say, that's pretty cool. I was all into that UTEP game. And I think that's what makes the tournament so special is that you don't have to have a working knowledge of all the teams to enjoy it. Like
right.
you do so many other games, sports.
It helps to gamble, not that we do because it's illegal.
Right.
But
well,
if it weren't illegal, it would make it a lot more fun.
It is the most gambled on sport. I mean, look, the Super Bowl, I guess, legally gambling when you talk about Vegas, of
right.
course, is the biggest day of the year. But when you consider every office pool, you know, every office across the nation, stretching from coast to coast and everywhere in between, has an office pool, be it for $5 or $10 or $100, whatever it is. Everyone's interested.
It's kind of pathetic here because it's just me and the King of Mexico.
That's it. You sure you guys weren't just left out? You know, rest of the office, other end of the building just doesn't like
there
you guys.
Might be and didn't,
very, very possible.
Yeah, I'm thinking because
think so.
You know you got a boss that runs the place.
They
it's
don't
pretty
want
into
us?
This thing, and when he says, I know it because he used to say it to me. Hey, put together a bracket tournament.
Yeah,
no problem. The next thing you know, he's playing. Well, then I have to fill out a bracket and get involved.
Course,
and that's what happens. The big boss gets involved, and everybody gets involved.
But he doesn't get involved with real money. That's
no,
what I'm saying, because that's illegal.
You know what's funny is...
I think that
they just kind of overlook that. I don't know why, but you know, when you have mass emails being sent out by your office manager...
Of course.
I mean, just by the way, there's another bracket tournament that just got started. If you're interested in getting your bet in, you'll have to do it before 9:20 a.m.
It's so prevalent.
Yeah, it is.
That there's no way to even start cutting that down.
Well, I mean,
really,
you know, the head coach of UCLA, Rick Neuheisel, the head football coach, was fired from his head coaching gig at the University of Washington for taking part in a bracket challenge. That's why he got fired, and it was a big time. Bracket. I mean, it wasn't like our $5 or $20. I think he won like 10 G's or something
that.
But they fired him, and he ended up suing the school because he said everybody does it. Everybody knew about it, and I was wrongfully terminated. And he won $1 million from the University of Washington. Yeah. Because the court went, wait a minute, you can't fire him over brackets. We play brackets on the court here, you know? Oh, yeah. So he won like $1 million in a lawsuit.
So the everybody does it defense works?
If they know.
It did for him.
Wow.
It did in a court of law, Cal.
I always thought it wouldn't. We talked to John Calipari. Is that his name? Kentucky?
Oh, yeah, Coach Cal.
Yeah.
Did he sell you on like moving to Kentucky and filling up water bottles for him? That dude can recruit, man.
Yeah, well, no kidding. He says he has the youngest team in the league.
He does. Four freshmen in his top five scores, yeah.
And I asked him, I think they're going in first seed, but I asked him who he thought the Cinderella team would be. He said UTEP.
Yeah.
Which you already mentioned.
UTEP is very good. There's a, you know, there's a lot of Cinderella teams this year when you look at the brackets.
I know there's a lot I don't know.
And
I know
teams
there's
to
Wofford.
Keep an eye on. Yeah, Wofford I wouldn't say so much as Cinderella. UTEP is a 12 seed. And that's because Butler, you know, and this is the thing when you talk about college basketball. Everybody's got a different style. You know, in the NBA, everyone runs standard NBA sets. Pick and roll.
Right.
Yeah, Phil runs the triangle 30-40% of the time, and that's different than a lot of people.
And you have to run pretty much the same defense.
Yeah, for the most part, man-to-man. There's no real zone. But, you know, the Suns do the up and down 7 seconds or left. But that's really it. When you talk about college basketball, you know, you have the Syracuse zone, which is, you know, probably the best-known zone defense. But then you have teams like Cornell that are from the Ivy League that are a bunch of smart, you know, for big brain dudes that happen to play basketball and shoot the ball very well. They play a zone defense, and they're going up against one of the most talented teams, I think, one of the more underrated teams in the entire tournament that actually Coach Cal is going to have to face, I think, in the Sweet 16, and that's Temple. And Temple, when you talk about, you know, squads, and you think Philly, you think Villanova and Jay Wright and his fancy slick back hair and his $1,000 Italian suits, but you look at Temple, and you got a dude that looks like he just stepped out of, you know, home ec class with his push broom stash and his untucked shirt and Fran Dunphy.
Yeah.
It's a low profile, hasn't been on national TV, very good defensive team. And that's what happens in the tournament. You know, teams that you've never heard of play a style of basketball that's such a pain in the ass for guys like Coach Kells, John Wall, and old Cousins, and all these young dudes that are used to playing AAU up and down games. Like, hey, what the hell is up with this zone crap? You know, I don't know what this is. Everybody plays man to man, and you have an agreement with your guy. Hey, I'll dunk on you this time. You come back down, you dunk on me next time. I don't like this zone thing. What are these back chips I keep getting? And that's what happens in the tournament, and that's how you get teams like George Mason that end up in the Final Four like we had a couple years ago.
I got my money on Morgan State, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Old Dominion, and Sam Houston State. That's my four to win.
I'll tell
Final
you this. you know, if you look at the... If you still have time, what do we got now? About 2 hours.
Two hours.
If you still have time to fill out the brackets, the one thing you don't want to do is get too cute. You know, when you just boil it down to simple mathematics, statistics, I should say, not mathematics, but when you just look at the statistics, the 16s, the 15s, the 14s, you know,
all the
maybe
seeding.
They win a game a year, maybe. I think they say 12 seeds always win one a year. Last year, they were 2-2, the 12-5 upset. They always say make sure you find one of those that you like the best. But, you know, you'll have a 13 win maybe one out of every 3 years. it's almost always chalk. You know, ones, at least in the, all the ones are usually in the Elite Eight, and a lot of times they end up going to the Final Four, so you end up with pretty much what the people that put the bracket together intended to happen, and
right.
that's teams like Kansas, Syracuse, Duke, and Kentucky vying for the national championship in a couple weeks
from
Unless now.
There's some kind of Cinderella, and then everybody just goes crazy.
Lose
their mind because nobody's ever heard of them, and they're doing all this crazy stuff. And then you start, well, that's when you really get invested.
Oh, yeah, especially when they take down teams like Duke.
I want to see
Kansas.
A team I've never heard of from a state I've never heard of take on Kansas and beat them.
You've had yet their states out there.
Some
never
of
heard
them.
Of.
I'm not familiar with all of them.
What is this, South Dakota?
All right.
I am not familiar with this. When were they admitted to the union? What the hell is going on? There's a handful of those. I mean, there's the Richmond Spiders.
Yeah, go Richmond.
Think about all the team names you could come up with. Spiders.
Spiders is not good.
The Richmond Spiders could mess up Villanova's hopes of getting back to the Final Four. Something good. It's a very good, you know, mid seed in the as a 7 seed. Tennessee's a guy. A team I think that you'd be all over, Kevin. I don't know if you've seen Tennessee's head coach,
Bruce
Pearl.
You mean I can play for him, you mean?
No. Oh. Just because of what you appreciate
okay.
in sports.
Yes.
You know, they have a head coach that's just slightly overweight, you know.
All right.
And
fat coach, good.
He kind of he sweats a lot.
Good.
Loses his mind
Excellent.
A lot.
Throwing
know,
things and stopping and yelling.
Yeah. Freaking out. At one time, he went to support Pat Summitt. You know Pat Summitt,
uh-huh.
the women's head coach, famous women's head coach of Tennessee. No shirt, painted his entire body orange, just kind of tried to find his way into the student body
sure
section
is.
There, you know, tried to sneak in, assimilate with the kids. He was on TV inside of 1 second, and what the hell is Bruce Pearl doing?
That's the best.
Tennessee, though, is a team that, you know, Coach Cal, you had him on from Kentucky, only 2 losses all season. Tennessee was one of those wins. And Kansas has 2 losses on the season. Tennessee
really?
Beat Kansas. So the 2 best teams in the country, a 6 seed out of the SEC, Tennessee beat both of them. So that's kind of maybe your Cinderella story to keep an eye on.
Now, this whole tournament, this is one and out. There's no loser's bracket.
So it makes
bracket.
It so great.
No loser's bracket you can go through.
You're up 1 with 2 seconds on the clock. Some dude gets it 50 feet away, heaves a ball, it goes through. That's it. You're
and
done.
You go home.
Over. And you know, I had that. I called the Big Ten tournament last week. I was in Indianapolis. And I don't know, I'm sure you saw the highlights of the Ohio State-Michigan game.
My man Money says that he calls games. I try to find him. Every week I try to
find him.
You can't
find him anywhere.
Never heard him one time doing a game.
Well, he
once.
Just says it.
Here in Los Angeles, turns out people not that interested in the Big Ten tournament.
I go, hey, Money, where's it going to be at this week? He's going to go, 8:14 a.m. 2 a.m.
I'm on 19:30 a.m. There is no 19:30. Yeah, just try it.
I can't find him. He says
he calls
games,
I had the Ohio State Michigan game, and you saw those highlights, I'm sure.
Yes.
Evan Turner, who I think is the best player in all of college basketball for Ohio State. You know, Michigan makes this spirited run. They you know, Manny Harris hits a shot with 2 seconds left to put Michigan up 2. And you figure it's over, yet here comes the best player in the country, Evan Turner, 1 dribble, 2 dribbles, 37 feet away.
Wow.
Doesn't heave it, 37 feet away. Shoots a jump shot.
Yeah.
Just, you know, left hand on the side of the ball to hold it in place. Right hand, good follow three, holds it there for effect, and right through.
Wow.
Like nothing happened.
That's
you know?
So exciting.
It really is. And that's and you get at least, that's the thing about the tournament. You got so many damn games, you get at least 5-6 of those in the next 2 days. You
yeah.
will have games decided in the final 30 seconds, and it's crack. I mean, it's sports crack. You cannot help but come back time and time again and sit through some of the blowouts in the hopes that, you know, you'll get another one of those buzzer beaters.
I'm feeling a little sick. I may not be here tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I really feel like maybe something I'm coming up.
Down with something. It's going around. It's
yeah.
going
yeah.
around. Yeah.
I'm
going
to get another.
There's a bug going
vasectomy.
Around. But yeah, there's another one.
Another one.
An unvasectomy.
That's how strong I am.
Reverse vasectomy.
I need another one.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back and talk more sports in a second. That, of course, was the latest from Vampire Weekend called Cousins.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty good, it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to the music department. We said, we got to get some new music. Let's start featuring some new music on the show. And they said, fantastic. Vampire Weekend.
And they gave you Vampire Weekend,
yep.
huh?
Have you heard the new,
I have, sure.
They're good, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the rotation, heavy rotation. It'd
be a lot better if I remembered the band, but.
Black Eyed Peas?
No.
Oh.
No, not Black Eyed Peas. Cypress Hill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They,
two songs with Tom Morello?
Absolutely, with Tom Morello. I think they did like five with Tom Morello, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
but yeah,
such good music.
Pretty damn good stuff, Kevin. Yeah.
And we can't really make an announcement yet about the 20th of April, but that 420 has something to do with Cypress Hill. And you might have an event that might be tied into that band.
I'll tell you, on the 420, if there's one thing I can never count on, it's a Kevin and Bean live remote with Be Real showing up, looking at a police officer, lighting up some weed and saying, it's cool, right?
Yep.
No, it most definitely is not cool, but by all means, go ahead.
We were mocking that when he was in. He came in like a week ago, and we debuted one of their new songs, and we were mocking that because he really did pull out. It was about the size of my leg.
Yeah, I'd say that.
It really was. It was about the size of my leg.
You might be underselling it a little bit there, Kevin. It stretched from one end of Hennessy's to the other.
Right.
He had to ask the police officer to light it for him so he could just suck on it.
Take my lighter and walk to the other end of the room and light it for me.
That was something. Yeah. I mean, that really went. You know, it's funny. I thought it would go over better with the kids that were there. I mean, they really were upset by what he did on that 420 there.
But anyway, they have a new album that's coming out, which is, from what I've heard, is great.
Yeah.
And can't wait for it.
Big Laker fan, that Be Real.
That's
every single game right there. Lakers bench, end of the court, behind the hoop. Big fan.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Who else are in bands that show up? I know that Flea is a huge Lakers fan.
All of the Chili Peppers are huge fans. Flea, probably the most ardent of supporters.
He's
though.
Crazy. He writes a blog, and he's crazy.
NBA.com gave him a blog. He played the trumpet. He played the national anthem on the trumpet, actually, before one of the playoff games. I believe it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Anthony Kiedis goes as well, and Chad Smith goes quite a bit.
Sure.
So kind of the Peppers as a whole are always there. There is a contingency of Interscope artists that sit on one end of the sidelines there, all the way on one of the corners. So you'll see Dre at a handful of games, or Kanye will be at a handful of games. I don't know if he's a big Laker fan. He's from Chicago, but kind of the hip-hop, I think, more the hip-hop element sits at that particular spot. I think that's really it.
Kanye likes to be in the spotlight.
Little bit.
I would guess that would be
his
reason for showing
up. Little bit. Black Eyed Peas come from time to time, so yeah.
All right. So good times. Let's talk about how to watch the tournament. We were talking about March Madness a second ago. There are a couple of different ways you can do it. DirecTV does have a package where you can watch all of the games.
Watch your mouth.
In high def. A package. I mean, a TV package.
How big of a package? Is it a big package?
It is a pretty big package.
Yeah, I bet.
And they show them all in high def. So that's great.
Yeah.
And I think it's like $69 or something like that.
Right. Well, CBS, does it all online. And I think, because most of the games that overlap one another take place during the workday.
Right.
That's when you read those, Forbes or Money Magazine reports about billions and billions of dollars of lost production, which cracks me up.
Yeah, because people are watching that and not working.
Well,
yeah.
But I have news for you. I mean, if you ever walked around your office, it's not like people that are on a computer are working on their computer all day. I mean,
I'm
walking through.
If they're not doing this, they're on Farmville.
Yeah, they're Farmville, or they're picking out options for their new Mercedes C-Class, or they're on Amazon.com because they have a Prime membership that has the 2-day shipping. I mean, computers are just a giant waste of work production. There's no question. I mean, for whatever conveniences it's afforded the worker,
right?
It's equally as distracting. But that's the key.
But wouldn't you think you would know that going in? You'd know that going into March Madness. Go to sportsline.com. You can watch all the games in high def on your computer. If your company won't allow that, there is a site called VTunnel. So you go to VTunnel.com.
Are you sure that's a sports site?
I am.
No, it is.
No, it's not a sports site. It's a get-around-your-firewall site.
Yes.
So if your company says you can't use all that bandwidth, you go to VTunnel, you type it in, and then you go to wherever and you can watch
it. Kind of mask it, huh?
You can get around it.
And then does it have the boss button like the CBS Sportsline does, where you click it and it puts up the most ridiculous spreadsheet you've ever seen?
It doesn't.
That looks like a spreadsheet. Like if you asked your 11-year-old daughter, okay, here's your project for tonight. I want you to replicate a real working business plan, okay? Yeah, a spreadsheet. And she would draw, one line in yellow crayon and another in red, and she would hand it back to you. And that is what CBS scanned and used as their boss button spreadsheet.
Which is funny. So you're watching the tournament, and then your boss walks by. You just click the boss button.
Right there.
And it brings up this really realistic
Say, Jenkins, I see you're looking at that spreadsheet I sent over earlier.
Made out of pram? I don't know why I wrote it.
Why, yes, I am, boss. What do you make of these numbers and the trends in the marketplace?
And then he walks back away, and you go back to your game.
That's it.
It's so available now. It's such good times.
The funny thing about the tournament is, and P brought this up on the show, and it really was a pretty... It was
P,
an
for those of you that don't speak the language, is our friend Petros.
He said, you know, they've sold March Madness so hard that nobody watches college basketball the rest of the year anymore.
True.
You just assume that you don't have to pay attention until March when the conference tournament begins, and that's why so many people are so undereducated on the world of college basketball when the tournament comes around, and they look at the sheet, you know, which I have in my hand now, and you say, oh, yeah, let's see, Vandy and Murray State. I don't know anybody on those teams.
Right.
Then you got Marquette, Washington. Okay, Washington, Pac-10 team, Pondexter. But then there's New Mexico, Montana.
They let 64?
Yeah, 65
I guess, teams in. So the really kind of the top 65 teams. So you really don't need to pay a lot of attention during the season.
Here's what I'll tell you. You want to be the guy around the office that everyone says, you know what? Go ask Smith over there. You know, he's got it all. Wow, I really just did that to myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I get upset when people say Smith.
Yeah. The only name he could come up with was his last
couple
name.
Couple things you need to know. Well, I already used Jenkins for the spreadsheet, so I was out. I got two names, Jenkins and Smith.
Yeah, just go ask Kevin. Ask for Kevin.
Couple things that if you want to sound smart when it comes to the college basketball. One, just say, well, you know, the Big Ten, they're always undersold. Best coaches in college basketball. That's why I like the Big Ten.
Big Ten, undersold.
Undersold.
All right,
coaches,
good.
Defense. That's why. And you know, the Big Ten always ends up in the Final Four. And everyone always says, how the hell did Michigan State get here? Why weren't they in disarray just 2 weeks ago?
You know why? Big Ten, undersold.
See? Always right. Undersell the Big Ten. They got the best coaches.
Okay, best coaches. All right. What else if you want to just act like you know?
You know, here's the thing about Kentucky. They got the athletes.
Don't they all have the athletes?
Well, you know, a lot of times if you say they got the athletes, some people will accuse you of borderline racism when you say that.
No, what's wrong with
but
you?
But that's what you do. You guys had Coach Cal on.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Coach Cal, he recruits the athletes. All right, so there you go. Now you got Kentucky covered.
All right.
Kansas. All right, Kansas, which is probably going to win the whole thing.
Okay.
And people are going to say, you know, everyone's picking Kansas. What's up with that? Hey, senior leadership at the guard position. Senior leadership at the guard position.
So these
man.
Are cheat notes. These are notes.
This is your cliff notes.
If you know nothing,
if you have no idea what you're talking about.
Close your eyes close your eyes and just envision that bright yellow cover with the black diagonal stripes on it. All right, here you go. Cliff notes for the NCAA
Kansas
tournament.
Senior leadership.
Kansas,
at guard.
Hey, senior leadership at the guard position. All right. Syracuse.
Okay.
All right, the one seed. Oh, that Boeheim zone.
Boeheim's, that's too rough. I'm
no,
going to
no,
tell
no.
people that's
Try
too much
it, Lisa.
For them.
Oh, that Boeheim zone.
Look at that.
Okay.
Can't see
all
that?
Right.
Oh, that Boeheim zone, man, you know?
Can't get around that.
All right, so Big Ten undersold.
Yep.
Kentucky gets the athletes.
Yep.
Kansas senior leadership at guard.
That's
and
right.
And Syracuse, that Boeheim
that
zone.
That Boeheim zone.
And then you got to have something for Duke. You know,
you have
Duke,
to.
You, of course.
Now you're getting
Duke is so.
I can keep like three things.
You got this one. You got this all one
Duke.
Covered. All right, Duke, because Duke is so polarizing. You know, people really
love
Duke because of you know, great institution for higher learning. They graduate their kids. Coach K, respectable head coach. But Duke, you know what you say? The tournament really gave them an easy road. That's it. Tournament committee really gave them an easy road. Now you're covered. You're
all
good.
Right.
You know more about the tournament in your office,
all
in
right.
your book club, you know, hanging out at the Pete's Coffee with all the dudes with the beards. You know more than anyone else when it comes to college
Look
basketball.
It.
That's
there
all you
go.
Got.
This is awesome.
So some cliff notes so you can sound intelligent.
Yeah.
DirecTV, NCAA.com, CBS On Demand, Sportsline.com. There are many places that you can watch it.
Yeah, most definitely. Or your own TV.
What we're suggesting is do watch it. That's
yes.
our point. All right, we'll take a quick break. Matt Money Smith is here. We'll come back and talk other sports.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith,
hey.
Former sports reporter, is in the studio with us talking sports. We've handled the NCAA.
March I think Madness. So. I think so. I think we covered it, right?
Covered that.
Lisa, do you remember what we talked about?
I do. I know that Duke got an easy road
there you go.
From the committee.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah, Lisa.
That.
Yeah.
Big Ten.
God, you're so hot.
Big Ten.
Big Ten, always undersold.
Good. Because of the best.
I'm getting a happy right now.
I know. Kentucky?
And,
keep it going.
And,
how about Kentucky?
Kentucky. Best athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that other place
Kansas?
With the zone. Forget about
That's
it.
That's the Boeheim zone.
That's
Syracuse.
Zone.
You know,
That's
Boeheim
right.
zone.
Oh,
Look,
okay.
you're going to have to tie these two together.
Right,
you're not
right.
going to sell
how about
it.
This? How about
okay,
this?
I can work
There's
on
a
this
team
a
with a zone. Doesn't work.
Lisa, what do you make of Kansas?
Oh, that Boeheim zone. Okay, no! That's Syracuse.
Senior leadership.
Crap.
Is.
All right, we'll work out senior leadership. There you go.
In the
where?
Guard.
There you go. Senior leadership at the guard position.
So, Matt, you had you had Kobe Bryant on yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Petros and I had Kobe on yesterday.
Did he come in or was he on the phone?
No, he's on the phone. He was at Disneyland with the kids. So we could hear him and all the people around him as he was leaving Disneyland.
That seems like that would be a nightmare for him.
I would, you know.
As well, as far as.
I think they give him an escort.
Yeah.
And he gets to do the, you know, going through
the
exit, cut the line for everything.
But, actually, it's a delight for him is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm but sure. You still got to walk around. You know, you still got to go from Space Mountain, you know, over to California Adventure in the
they
Tower
don't
of Terror.
Over in a card or something?
I don't think so. I don't think he gets in a card. I think you still got to walk through the crowds. But I think. They provide
he needs
with
to wear
escort.
Like a storm super troop from Star Wars.
That would be a bad
like
idea. You know? Although that might stick out just a little bit.
Maybe, but they wouldn't know why. They wouldn't know who.
And I think, you know, Kobe's girls have been on the TV enough that they probably, you know, wacky Laker fans recognize them, too.
That's true, yeah. They're waiting in the wings after the games, and he goes and picks them up.
He was quite excited, though, and I think every parent can relate to this. He finally turned that corner where the girls like the adult rides.
All
you know, Gianna went on Space Mountain for the first time, so he was quite excited about
that.
That's
you got some good information, didn't you?
I really hit him hard.
I went to Disneyland when I had my twins were very young, and we did It's a Small World After All.
It's the worst thing ever.
Right.
It's the worst experience you can possibly put yourself
20
through.
20 times a row, in a row.
Oh, yes.
You went on more than once?
20 times in a row. Then we said, my wife and I were like, oh, we got to figure something out. Let's go eat lunch. Yeah, we'll get them to go eat lunch. So we took them away, and we went to eat lunch. And then right after lunch, they wanted to go on It's a Small World. So we did that another, I'm not kidding, 20 times. Got in the car and drove home.
That's all you did?
That was the one single ride that we did.
You know, this is the problem with parenting. You're not their friend, Kevin. You're their parent.
I know.
And at some point, you got to lay down the rules.
I know, but
you got to be the bad guy.
This
you
is
can't,
an addictive personality.
You cannot do that.
You got to stop it.
Yeah, you got to be able to take. I mean, we took the kids. We had a you know one of those VIP Disneyland closes, but you get to stay until 2 a.m.
Right.
Kids were doing great. I mean, we were Space Mountain and Thunder Mountain Railroad and the Haunted Mansion, the log ride. I mean, everything's great. We get on Small World. And it was like there was just an energy vacuum that was just put on their necks.
It's soul crushing.
By the time we got off, I'm carrying, you know, one child over each shoulder. Dad, why did you make us do this? Such a bad idea.
Hey, so here's a tip. If you want your kids to fall asleep.
Yeah, Small World. But then you got to carry them from the middle of the park all the way to the parking lot.
Sometimes it's worth it.
That is bad planning.
Sometimes
my back still hurts from that one. Slipped a disc from that damn move.
All right. Kobe, say anything about the
well, you know, the big thing
the
with
recent
the,
Laker problem?
Well, they've won for they've won three in a row now, so they're doing good there. But I did bring up the Pau Gasol has been suggesting that the ball needs to run through him more, and you have not said anything.
Right. Well,
where do you stand? And you know, this is the one, and Adrian Wojnarowski from Yahoo.com really put together a hell of an article about it. He said, you know, you got to remember that anytime anyone said anything that slighted Kobe, he just exploded and eviscerated them. And he has not said one thing. I think yesterday it might have been his first comment about it. And he just said, look, I think Pau is an all-star in this league a couple times over now, and he wants to be more of a vocal leader, and he's just trying to flex that. And he said, I don't have a problem with it.
That's,
you know,
that's rare for him, right?
Most definitely. Yeah. And it really just kind of shows you where he is, I think, in his career after 12 seasons of, look, I just want to win championships. I want to collect championships to fill up my hands and have, you know, if Tiger is trying to get 19 majors to have one more than Jack, Kobe is trying to get 7 titles to have one more than Michael. And I think that is the ultimate focus. That is the ultimate goal in his just – that's the only focus he has. How do I win the most titles? And Pau is – I love Pau. He's probably my favorite Laker. I enjoy watching him play.
He can shave. He's ugly.
And, I'm kind of ugly too, and I could probably shave a little bit.
You can shave as well.
And, you know, he's from Spain.
By the way, I'm not going to make out with you until you do shave.
Really?
Yeah.
Let it grow a little bit more. He's a big soccer fan. He's well-read.
Big soccer fan, all right.
And I've had conversations about literature from time to time on the flights.
Going on here.
But Pau is the key, and I think Kobe knows that. And because he's not as strong, he doesn't have as strong of a psyche, he really can't. can't do what he did to Shaq when Shaq went off on him. So he's just kind of sit back. He's got to sit back and kind of cruise with it.
I think he would like it, by the way, if Powell stepped up. And
I think the thing is, I don't think Kobe liked Shaq as a person. I think he just felt like he was a phony and always got a free pass. And Kobe would get ripped for being this, you know, kind of maybe, I don't want to say, well, yeah, I mean, he got ripped for being a bad teammate because he was so competitive. And Shaq never did. And I think that bothered him. But Powell really is a great teammate. He's beloved by the rest of the team. And I don't think Kobe has an issue with him whatsoever.
There's been a lot of talk about the best Laker of all time. And
The best Laker of all time. The highest scoring Laker of all time.
A lot of talk about that.
Joe Myers is an idiot for saying that. Just a complete idiot for letting that fall out of his mouth.
What did he say with that particular
comment? When Kobe scored the basket, the television play-by-play voice, Joe Myers, hello, listen to my voice.
Hate.
I'm the best.
Can't stand him.
Oh, no. Oh, too easy.
I can't stand him. Drives me crazy.
When Kobe scored that basket, you know, look. You know Kobe is going to pass Jerry West.
Right.
And as a play-by-play man myself, as a broadcast professional, you prepare for those moments.
Right.
And you kind of have, you have it, either you write it down or you have it in your head what you're going to say when that moment comes in a game.
Right.
So this is not something that just slipped out of his mouth and he was caught up in the moment. He decided that his call of that basket was going to be, and now the greatest Laker of all time is the highest scoring Laker of all time.
Yeah.
What?
That was planned out.
And Stu, well, Joe, I don't think you can say that. I'm going to have to I think that is open for debate, you know, on the Lakers television network.
All right, but let me ask you this, and this is where I come down on it. The best closer of all time is Kobe.
Well, I mean, there's that Michael Jordan guy.
Yes,
you know,
but did he have as many?
Hit that shot in the finals.
Right, but did he have as many?
I'm going to say yes. You know, I mean, Michael kind of, look, here's the thing. Kobe is he's you know, a talent of a generation. You know, when it's all said and done, he's got a real good shot and likely will go down as the greatest player of his generation. You know, you'll have Tim Duncan in that conversation, Shaq in that conversation. Why you hate Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan is the most boring player in the NBA.
You apparently don't know about the tattoo of the wizard on his shoulder. That's not very boring, is it?
That's pretty exciting.
The guy scores 40 points, and he puts me to sleep. Yeah, I can't stand it.
But if he gets upset, he gets those Graves' disease eyes.
Yeah, once every 50 games. How can you be that good and be that boring?
Well,
that's my question.
Yeah, he's a tall dude. You know, he's not a guard. He's not flashy. The big fundamental is what
they call him.
The thing about the Lakers, they've had a lot of great players.
Of course.
Elgin Baylor.
Of course.
You know, it was Kobe and Michael before Kobe and Michael. It was just an athlete that dominated everyone. You've got Jerry West, Mr. Clutch, one of the greatest Lakers of all time. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, turns out, did an awful lot while he was a Laker.
He did some good.
After doing a lot when he was a Buck.
That's an impossible category, let's be honest.
To me, I'll be honest, I think it's actually relatively easy. I don't think there's anyone that's close to Magic Johnson. As great as Kobe was, Magic Johnson is a talent that we will never see anything like him again. 6'9", runs the point, play the center. When he stepped in game 6 for Kareem, injured,
and that hook.
42-13 and 9 assists. I mean, at the center position, there will never be another Magic Johnson. And for those of you out there that aren't crazy about basketball and need to have your sports packaged into easy to digest film, you know, these film style documentaries, HBO has a Magic Bird thing going right now.
Oh,
that
I'd like to see
is
that.
Brilliant. It is brilliant.
Larry Bird, Magic
It's all
Johnson.
About the Bird versus Magic rivalry. And even though you know everything about it already, because there have been 100 other documentaries on it, they did a great job. I think it was Ross Greenberg who did it. And it's special. And I would highly recommend punching that into your TiVo, because it'll help you appreciate not only Magic, but for all the people in L.A. that hate the Celtics, Larry Bird.
Yeah, I know. Listen, that's
so easy to hate Larry Bird, but
it is.
He comes off so well.
I know.
In this. He comes off so well in this special.
But he was a Celtic.
He was a Celtic.
So that's it. I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
That much, huh?
That's it. Celtics, come on.
You'll come around. You'll come around on this one.
I was
you really will. Bird will bring you back around.
I happened to sit next to MCA of the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
When the Lakers were playing the Celtics, and I said, I was there with my daughter, and I said to him, you're not a Celtics fan, are you? And he said, yeah.
And I shouldn't he be a Knicks fan?
That's what you would think, but in that particular case. So I turned to my daughter so she couldn't see, and I started talking to her, and I put my middle finger right in his face.
You?
And I left it there for about 10 seconds.
Jeez, super fan, man.
No, but Come on now.
That's all I'm saying. I appreciate those Celtics teams of the 80s.
You do not.
I absolutely do. You know, with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish and Dennis Johnson.
All right.
I appreciate greatness, Kevin.
Matt Money Smith has been our guest. FoxSportsWest.com. He writes a column for.
I do, yeah.
They
yeah,
pay him
the
to write. That
a few
happens.
Times a week there, yeah.
FoxSportWest.com. You can also go to PetrosAndMoney.com, and you can follow them on their Twitter at PetrosAndMoney, no spaces.
That's right.
It's Petros and Money. Not no spaces, but there are no spaces in Petros and Money.
And if you want to watch games, I think we're at the Costa Mesa Hooters this afternoon.
All right, good. That's perfect. It's 7:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Let's talk not sports, baby. Greenhouse Effect and Britney.
That's the worst song ever, by the way.
Greatest jingle ever.
Thank you, Ralph.
Song ever.
Thank you, Ralph.
Money and Petros show.
I know.
That's sick. Well.
Oh, he stole it from you. You should love it.
Entertainment reporter Tom O'Neill of the Los Angeles Times did a story this week where he said every Best Actress Oscar winner since 1997 has either gotten a divorce or broken up with their boyfriend.
Really?
Looks like the curse has struck again.
It's trade-up time?
If you believe the reports coming out today from People magazine, Sandra Bullock and her husband Jesse James are on the rocks. Sandra has reportedly left the house they shared together after it was revealed in In Touch Weekly magazine that Michelle Bombshell McGee... Bombshell McGee.
She boxer? What? She it sounds like
sound
a boxer
like a,
nickname.
Sounds like an MMA fighter, doesn't it? She had a mad, passionate affair, she claims, with Jesse James while Sandra Bullock was in Atlanta filming The Blind Side.
That would be bad.
Now, no word on whether these accusations are true or not. However, Sandra did cancel her appearance at the London premiere for The Blind Side due to what she is calling unforeseen personal reasons. So it sounds effing shaky.
Could be something else.
It could be. We don't know.
There's a bug going around right now, you know.
She could have a bug.
That's right.
She could have crabs. Who knows? We don't know.
It's true. We don't. We really don't.
We don't know.
You just got to go to the Walgreens and get some shampoo. Crabs are gone.
Kate Winslet, speaking of Oscar winners who are getting divorced, has been relying on her old buddy Leonardo DiCaprio to get through this tough time in her relationship with soon-to-be ex-husband Sam Mendes. Kate says that Leonardo was like a brother to her because, of course, they were both catapulted to superstardom in their roles in Titanic.
Right.
And ever since then have been very close. They did another film together. It was directed by her husband called Revolutionary Road. And according to the New York Post, Kate is crying on his shoulder to help her get through this very difficult time.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
So he's got Bar Raffaele on one arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got Kate Winslet crying on his shoulder.
Wow.
It's good to be him.
It's good to be him.
Well, he kind of gets the intellect of Winslet and can just wear out Barr.
That's right.
You know,
and
have a good conversation with Kate and then just take Barr to task. Conan O'Brien's very close to getting a deal with Fox, if you believe the L.A. Times. Apparently, Conan's new show would start at 11 p.m. It would give him a jump on Jay Leno and David Letterman's shows.
And it would be an hour?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Daily Variety says that Conan's current live tour plans are actually conceived as part of a way to illustrate to Fox that he had a large fan base and to create some excitement for an upcoming TV deal, and looks like it's going to happen. So.
I like Coco. I'm a fan.
Team Coco.
I'm on Team Coco.
I like Conan. I don't know about Coco.
That's his.
I know.
That's his cute little name.
That's right. Team Coco, man.
It's his cute corner name. King of Mexico's cute.
Everyone's got to have one.
It's gay money over here.
And are you familiar with a guy named Alex Chilton?
Oh, hell yes.
My new money would know.
Mm-mm. No.
Being a hardcore music fan that
Big
he
Star,
is.
Big Star, baby.
He was the front man for a band called Big Star. That was never really a huge success in and of itself, but it was one of the most influential pop rock bands of the 70s and 80s. And bands like R.E.M., The Replacements, The Oasis, The Bangles have all cited
Big Star?
Big Star as one of their biggest influences. Well, Alex Chilton.
Don't
has
say it.
Passed away.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a big hit.
Dead at the age of 59 years old. He was also lead singer for a band called the Box Tops. Had a couple hits in the 60s before he started performing with Big Star, but sad day music. In fact, Big Star was scheduled to perform this Saturday at South by Southwest.
Yes, they were.
How's that going to work out?
That's too bad. Kids out there, get yourself, I believe, Number One Hits is the name of the record. December Girls, just a...
Oh, it's a great tune.
Yeah, really is a hell of a song.
The Replacements actually did a song called Alex Chilton, 1987.
Yeah.
It was a dedication.
Great song.
So check that out. So I thought some music buffs out there might be interested in that news. Today's celebrity birthdays, Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 31 years old.
Speaking of great music.
Oh,
Kevin used to scream for us all the time to give some love to Maroon 5. I don't know where that audio clip is. But
I don't either. I wish I could find it.
It was when you were on the Grammys. When
sure
you
would be
host,
good if I could find
you
it.
When you hosted the Grammys
that year. Yeah, I'm sure
year.
You tried really hard, right?
You said, they give some love to Maroon 5. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when you did that?
I do. Here's why it eventually ended, besides the fact that they stopped calling me, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the
reasons.
Besides
the reasons, 15 takes it took me. Yeah.
That was one of the reasons the job ended, because they stopped offering it to you?
That was the main thing. But secondarily, Ralph did come up to you at the end of like the third year or something. He goes, why do you do that? You hate every one of those bands. Everyone you have to hype, you hate.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
We're sorry you quit, because we had all that great tape.
Doing
multiple takes.
Yeah.
Corinne Bay Ravery.
Oh, Lele, that's my favorite.
Ray Bell Ravery.
All right, let's just move on.
I'm just saying. How come where's all the tape? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm axing. Give me a little Kevin and the Grammys tape.
Dude, I can't find it.
No,
I wish
mind.
I could. I'm
totally
really,
unacceptable.
I'm looking hard. But
This show is really limping along
right,
after yesterday's live booze show.
What? All right, I got something going here.
Give me a little taste.
All right. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two.
Yeah, that'd be better.
Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God it. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next.
Got another minute. How much do you need?
Unforgettable moment with
Corinne
Bailey.
Let it run.
An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. With Carrie Underwood and Riscoe Flatts.
Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again.
Ludacris. The 49th Annual Grammy Awards. With Clinton. All right. Let's do it again. No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley. Okay. That's gay riding. You know that, right? Okay. No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull.
All right.
For 4 days in a row in Miami.
All right.
I could quite possibly die during this recording session. All right, that's all you get.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that enough?
No! No! It's never enough!
All day long.
By the way, did it 4 years. That was all from 1 year.
That was just one take. That was one day.
Yeah, it was one day.
Magic.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you saw South Park last night. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew here in a second about sex addiction. Mm. But last night, South Park was the Tiger Woods story. Very,
awesome.
Very, very, very funny.
Bitch! You motherfucker! I never should have married you!
You're overreacting, you stupid Swedish cow!
Then why the f*** are you getting the text and message from some lowlife hooker on Thanksgiving? Where the f*** do you think you're going?
I'm getting the f*** away from you!
Get to the car, drive away.
Open the door, you mother f***!
And then this is when we find out that it's an actual video game that the kids in South Park are playing.
Oh yeah, chase after me in the car, Kenny. What are you guys doing? Dude, check it out. It's EA Sports Tiger Woods PGA Tour 11 for Xbox.
Ah, you!
Stop breaking through the window, Kenny. Oh, I'm gonna crash. Oh, dude, here come the cops. We gotta lie to them. Hit X to lie. Wow, I didn't know golf games were this cool. Yeah, dude, EA Sports outdid themselves this time.
So anyway, that was South Park last night.
Hit X to lie.
Hit X to lie to the cops,
that's
yeah.
Great.
It was all about sex addiction. So I thought we would play that as we bring on Dr. Drew. Hey, excellent. Dr. Drew.
God, I love South Park, guys.
Didn't you see it?
Funny.
They nail it every time. They just nail it. But I got to say, Aylin sounded more Italian than Swedish.
I know. It was an odd accent.
It was strange. In the episode, they say, they get a boardroom, you know, and Obama's in there, and they go, what happens? What happens with these guys when they get money? And then all of a sudden, they get this disease of sex addiction, and they blamed it on aliens. And then they had to kill the aliens that landed, I don't know, from 1947
awesome.
Or whatever. So
I
fun.
Love those guys.
Drew,
they're
what
genius.
Is the difference between a sex addict and someone who just has money and power and availability of all kinds of women who are willing to have sex with them, taking advantage of it?
Ralph, you say that sort of longingly, strangely enough.
Yeah, but, those were good times, Drew.
But the difference is that with any addiction, it's about consequence. So things are happening in your life that are painful as a result. You attempt to change, but you lose control and you can't change. Mm-hmm. I find myself all the time these days telling people I'm not interested in bumming anybody's high. I'm interested in helping people who wish to change but can't. And those are the people that need help. And, you know, just because a family member is bringing somebody in for treatment doesn't mean that somehow they've just been caught and that's the only reason they're coming for treatment. We don't say that as it pertains to cocaine addiction. Cocaine addicts don't walk in the door and say, hey, hello, I'd like cocaine treatment.
Right.
Their families bring them in when they get caught. That's
right.
What happens. The courts bring them in when they get caught. That's how all addictions come to light,
and
with
that
consequences.
And that was a major part of South Park, is don't get caught.
Well, if you
and that's the point, right?
If you want to keep your addiction going, don't get caught.
Right.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
I'm just saying. So anyway, they all sit around a board table, boardroom, and there's women every other person. And the guys are like, what happens to these guys? They get money and they get some fame, and then they want to go out and have sex with women. We don't understand. And they're looking at the women like, I hope they're buying this. But anyway, Dr. Drew, you have another episode tonight. Of Sober
we
House.
Do. Yeah, Sober House tonight. This tonight, particularly, old Shifty shows up again.
And, Shifty.
Yeah, I did not want to treat him. I told him that I'd really sort of mourned his death, because as far as I was concerned, I was a part of his disorder now, because he'd come in, I'd patch him back together, he'd go out to get wasted again.
Yeah, he had particular trouble from the beginning, though. I remember thinking, that there's no hope for that guy.
Yeah, he's a hardcore addict, but I got to tell you, I do let him in, and the guy does great. I mean, Shifty is really, really doing well now, and it sort of changed my attitude a little bit, frankly, because I got used to sort of not giving up on people, but you know, at a certain point I just go, look, I'm part of the problem now, so I got to get out. I got to not treat you anymore. But here's a case where I let him back in, and it turns out okay. So he is a source of trouble in the house a little bit. But
really?
Shifty. He's a little shifty. But it's an intense season, and I can barely watch it myself. It took a few years off my life. It's funny, huh?
That's what you want, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I want a shorter life.
Every TV show, you want to shorten your life by a couple of years.
Nice.
Did you see the Todd Bridges book?
I did not, but I know Todd very, very well. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, just in the light of Corey Haim's passing, of course, it happens in the media. All the teen stars seem to come to light again, especially the ones who have had difficulty with substance abuse, like Todd Bridges. He's got a new book out called Killing Willis, where he talks about the depths at which he sank. He was living on the streets at one point, I think, after the series was off the air.
Two things I know from Todd, and I've talked to him a lot about this. One is he will tell you that it's not being a child star that motivated his addiction or contributed to the addiction, although it didn't help anything. It's the fact that he had the disturbed family relationships, yet things going on at home. Danny Bonaducci says this all the time to me. He goes, look, because of child stars, when I went home, my dad treated me, you know, awfully.
Yeah.
And that's really where the problem came from. Todd has one of the most vivid stories of methamphetamine addiction I've ever heard. He got so psychotic, he believed his grandmother had raised his house up 6 inches and built a factory underneath, and in that factory she was creating little men to come up and torment him.
Wow.
And he ended up getting guns and running on the street shooting at these little men.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how he got arrested, when he was shooting out in the street.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yeah. Good Todd. Way to go.
But he says he was, at one point, he was a pimp.
Yeah.
Right?
He says in the book he was a pimp at one point.
Yeah, he went down pretty low. What the hell? Addiction will take you. This, by the way, as it pertains to switch back to Tiger, when he stood up and gave his apology, that was one of the things that concerned me. He got up and kept saying, I'm a bad person, I'm a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what we look for as a sign of recovery, somebody saying, you know what, I've got a problem, and it took me to places that I never imagined I would go, but look, here I am.
You know what's weird about that, though, Dr. Drews? I feel like that's the opposite of how the public judges. Like, if he were to say, it wasn't my fault, I have a disease, everybody would go, F you.
No, you're right, and that's so funny, because those of us in the treatment field, we see things a little different, and you have to be around this disease and all its manifestations to really gain an appreciation of how it works. And, you know, somebody has to sort of, the saying I'm bad and beating myself up is still an attempt to control, and addicts cannot be left in control of anything. They have to just give it up, say, I can't rely on my brain to make any decisions. From now on, I am following direction of other people.
Right.
As opposed to, I'm bad, I'm going to take care of this. That's somebody who's going to relapse.
Hmm. Wow. Well, and I imagine it's tough to get a guy like Tiger, who's at the top of his game and has millions of dollars and everything else, to kind of give up the decision-making process.
Well, absolutely. He said stuff like that in that apology, how hard it was for him to even admit that he needed help, let alone giving it over to another group of people. And by the way, returning to work in 3 weeks or whatever it's going to be now, not a great sign. I mean, it might work out okay, but oh boy,
yeah. But have you seen golf fans? I think he's all right.
But so much, I think
he's fine.
So much, I think, of celebrities who enter rehab immediately after some sort of very public disgrace, to me, seems like a lot of it is spin control. Don't you find, Drew?
Well, I got to tell you, it feels like it's spin control in the sense that they go right in. But having treated a number of people who were in the public scrutiny that way, when you shut the door, it doesn't feel like spin control. These people are in exquisite pain. They want help. They're miserable. Now, they may be looking to sort of get it back together again. They may not understand the depths of which they have to sort of turn it over.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like spin control for the individual when you're sitting there working with them.
Right. Very happy to have Dr. Drew on every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tonight, Sober House Season 2, VH1, 10 p.m. You got your Dennis Rodman, your Heidi Fleiss, your Carrie Ann Pinnish, your Kendra Jade, your Shifty, your Tom Sizemore.
Oh, it's a good crowd.
And it took a couple of years off of Drew's life. That's all you need to know.
It's good time.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. We'll talk to you soon. Good. Bye. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking yesterday about how it was St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And
we were talking about that. And it was St. Patrick's Day, too.
It was. Yeah. And we had a St. Patrick's Day show. And
yes.
Ralph apparently bought a racehorse.
Yeah.
Or at least went in on it.
Apparently, I'm a part owner of a racehorse somehow.
He didn't find out that until this morning when he checked his email.
Yes.
But that's good news. I mean, you know, you didn't know you had a racehorse yesterday, and now you do.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Beer Mug, not here today.
No. Never showed up for work.
Finally got a hold of him. He thinks he was slipped something.
Yeah, he was slipped
that's
something.
That's what he said.
Oh, well, God. No, but that's what Lisa always says, too, when she wakes up naked, by the way. Yeah. Oh, I must have been slipped something.
But he parties a lot.
Yes, he does.
And he's very reliable.
He's always
shockingly
here, that's true.
So.
Yeah.
And
he's reliable
he knows
if he sleeps
difference.
Here. If he crashes here, he's reliable.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, if he sleeps somewhere else, sometimes he doesn't get to work.
Yeah. He had a bunch of scrapes he can't account for. I don't know. It looks like he got the worst of it.
Maybe and he's got a racehorse, too.
He wasn't even drinking with us yesterday. He must have got out later and had a drink. But we're going to look for your hangover cures.
Because a lot of people this morning are probably feeling a little worse for wear, feeling the ill effects of a day of partying that a day like St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo always entails. The next day you wake up feeling a little rough. And there are a lot of home remedies for hangovers. Some people swear by them. And we thought we'd like to share that information today in case people are waking up and turning on the radio and realizing I need a little something to get me through the day.
Or I'm the type of person who's going to need this, so I'll make a note.
Yeah.
because I know I'll end up that way.
Because I had St. Patrick's Day yesterday, and then tomorrow night is a bachelor party for a buddy of mine.
Oh, great.
So this is going to be one of those weeks.
A bachelor party weekend? Or just
no,
week?
Just, okay, just night. Friday night. All right. We're all piling into a limo and doing some kind of damage.
All right.
And, so Saturday morning I will need a cure of some kind, I'm sure.
1-800-520-1067. Everybody knows. Don't look at me like that.
Kevin needs something, too, by
the way. Everybody knows the greasy food. You got to have the greasy food late at night.
Bacon sandwiches. I just read an article someone saying this morning, bacon sandwiches actually have a scientific proven effect on hangovers, that they actually make you feel better. It's a combination of the fats and the meat and a whole number of things.
But isn't it true of like any sandwich? Yes. Hey, Matt Money Smith is back.
Yeah. Hey.
He might know something
about
this.
Talk about a topic that he knows something
to
get rid of.
Number one, Pedialyte.
Pedialyte,
which you're supposed to give your children when they get the flu to
when they get the runs or whatever.
Exactly,
right?
You know
they're dehydrated.
That's
and
right.
They need
rehydration.
Electrolytes.
The stuff in it. You know, it tastes a little medicine-y, but it's kind of like a Gatorade, but a little bit thicker, a little bit more syrupy Gatorade.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but I'm telling you, man, you chug that stuff down. Half hour later, you're ready to start drinking Irish coffee.
Really?
That Batman cup there's got a little bit of Jameson in it.
I wish it did.
All right, Pedialyte, that's a good tip.
Or just get drunk again.
Pedialyte.
What was it? Was it the time that we were in New Orleans that we found that powder, that powder thing was?
Yes, that is where you were.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That would be what happened, Kevin. Someone handed you a random pouch of powder.
No, that's not true.
You found it
at
a gas station.
Just take this.
Kevin just guzzled it down?
They said, you got to go get this. It was at a gas station, and it was like aspirin with caffeine in it or so. I can't remember what it was, but
headache powders.
Yeah, it was
in a little like a bindle.
Oh,
like
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yes.
Not a bindle. I'm mistaken. I was thinking of the other 30 times that someone put something in your hand and told you to take it that you did.
Kevin cut it up and he snorted some headache powder and
it.
He suddenly was feeling better.
You get a spoon and you put a little bit of water in it.
Thank you, Lisa.
You light
totally
it up.
Remember.
It's headache powder. What
you
roll
up a $100 bill, you snort the headache powder, and the next thing you know, you're feeling
energized. You drink the bottle of water, you go to bed.
Whatever you say.
Next morning, you feel great.
Sure, we know. Whatever you say.
Whatever.
Come on now. Lisa remembers.
I do.
Were you in? Were you there with him?
No, I remember the story though.
Yeah, that's the way he tells
it.
Because
you found it in a gas station and I was
on the gas station floor in the bathroom.
Substitute gas station, and I purchased it there for a large black man on a corner handed it to me
near a gas
for a 20 spot.
The corner was near a gas station.
The fascinating part of it was that they told me you can get it at the gas station. I was like, "There's no possible way anything at a gas station is going
to." And they pointed to a giant black and said, "That's gas station right there."
He's the attendant. You need to talk to. He'll give you green stamps.
Neither of you are helping.
Oh, no, I definitely remember our time in New Orleans. You just had to take a flaming Dr. Pepper.
Drink it. It's just like Dr. Pepper.
Man, this dude is crazy. I know he's crazy.
Shut up and drink it.
He said to me yesterday, have you ever had a flaming Dr. Pepper?
It's like, pretty good, though.
No, because I don't have a vagina. I'm drinking Irish whiskey today.
And I couldn't remember what it was, but I was trying to tell him what it was. I thought it was.
They were convinced that you were like an executive for PepsiCo, and you were just trying to raise the old Dr. Pepper profile in the bars.
No, they light a shot on fire, they drop it in a beer, and you shoot it. That's a flaming Dr. Pepper. Come on! This isn't supposed to be about me. This is supposed to be about hangover cures.
Doesn't the draft go up your skirt when you're drinking that, though?
It does not. All right, we have a bunch of hangover cures on hold. We need to take a break, and we'll come back and take some calls. Okay. And let's try to make the focus on that and not my drinking problem.
All right.
Hangover cures when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa actually remembered what I was talking about.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 837. BC Powder is the name of it, Ralph. It's BC Powder. Mm-hmm. Comes in a little packet.
Yeah.
And it has...
from the coca leaf? I'm familiar with it.
It has aspirin, and it has caffeine.
Comes from Bogota.
And the caffeine opens up the blood vessels.
Bogota cocaine is what BC stands for. BC powder.
It's just an aspirin powder.
Bogota cocaine.
So you take it with a glass of water before you go to bed. You wake up with no hangover. That's not what I'm talking about, man.
I feel better already.
All right, let's see. Where do we start? Because let's start with Joe, as this is the nastiest one. Hey, Joe.
How's it going?
Hangover cures. What do you got?
Menudo and a Pepsi.
Nope.
hear Menudo all the time.
What else you got?
Yep.
Well, that works.
But isn't that nasty?
Yeah, if you don't throw it up, I guess it works.
Yeah, I guess if you can keep it down, it works. Yeah. But
It works. It makes you throw up, and then you get all this poison out of your system.
I can't keep it down when I'm not drunk.
No one's eating that.
All right.
Sorry.
Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to Robert. I'm not sure how this is available, but hey, Robert.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
What's your hangover cure?
You know what? IV fluid.
IV fluid.
Yep. And I get that how?
Yeah, how does a normal person get that?
You know what? If anybody has a friend that's a fireman or an EMT, or even if you know anybody in the military, it's really easy to get your hands on. And I don't care how bad your hangover is, 15 minutes on an IV and you feel like $1 million.
Well, part of the hangover is dehydration. The alcohol dehydrates your body. So naturally, you want to get as much fluid as you can into your body.
Yeah, I'm just arguing that this is not readily available.
Yeah, I'm saying, so you get it from your friend. You still have to find the vein and start the IV?
Yeah, it's easy.
How hard is it to find a vein, Kevin? They're right there. Look down your arm. You see them.
I'm not putting a needle in my arm.
Those are all blown out. I'm going between my toes now.
Get a Bic pen. You take the ink out. You sharpen it. And you shove it into your vein.
No.
And then you get like Gatorade, and then you just put it in like a hefty bag.
Is
and
that
then
you how just you do it,
squeeze it through the pen.
That's a poor man's IV.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that is.
Good times.
All right, let's try Max. Maybe he has a hangover cure that no one's heard of. Hey, Max.
Hey, guys. What you want to do is... Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Victor.
Basically, what you want to do is, this has worked for me, is take any NyQuil or cough syrup and add 5 to 10 drops of Tabasco sauce to it.
This is a setup. I can feel it right now.
Yeah. What's the punchline?
I'm going to tell them to take Tabasco sauce with cough syrup.
No. There's an exact chemical compound where the capsaicin inside the hot sauce activates something inside the cough syrup, and it helps you sweat the alcohol out, like, really quick.
Okay.
So I just perspire like crazy?
I wonder who the first guy came up with this is, by the way. I'm going to get some NyQuil and put some Tabasco in it and see if that helps my hangover. How desperate do you have to be for that combo?
It's in the Farmer's Almanac, you guys. It's really cool.
This is in the Farmer's Almanac?
Yeah.
In Farmville.
Farmville.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? All right, Max, thank you.
No worries.
Not going to do that?
You're a liar, but thank you.
Not going to do that any more than I'm going to do Menudo.
Tabasco sauce and NyQuil. I'll be hangover. I don't need to cure that badly. I don't need to feel better that quickly. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Amy. She has an idea. Hi, Amy.
Hi, guys. What you do is you wake up a little early, drink a lot of water, eat bread, make yourself throw up. That gets all the evil out. Then drink a beer and two Tylenol.
Wow, I got to wake
process.
Up really early.
Wait, did you say that gets all the evil out?
Yeah, like the evil that sits at the bottom of your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wake up early. You wake up earlier than you have to. Then you drink water, you eat bread, and you make yourself throw up.
Yeah. Then you take two Tylenol and a beer.
Yeah, Coors
two Light. Beers.
No, two Tylenol, one Coors Light.
Another setup.
Then you take a cast iron frying pan and you hit yourself in the back of the head with it, and you go back to bed.
You go to sleep. You may not
These
go back
are
to
awful,
bed.
Awful, awful cures. The cures are worse than the disease. I'd rather be hungover than to force myself to throw up bread and water.
I know. That sounds terrible.
Who wants to wake up early when they're hungover, too, just to get that going?
Can't wait to get up early to throw up bread and water and drink beer and Tylenol.
Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. We're looking for hangover cures. We don't like the ones we've heard so far.
The one that doesn't blow. The one that won't ruin me.
I hope this one is a good one for you.
All right.
Okay. Well, you got to smoke a little something-something, and I'm not talking about cigarettes.
Sure. All right. So weed? Then,
yes. And then after that, once, you know, the nausea is taken care of because of that, drink some 7-Up and eat some Top Ramen, and you'll be good to go for the whole day.
7-Up and Top Ramen.
I could kind of see that.
Is this for a hangover, or this is how you start your day?
No way. No, that's for, like, hangover.
Hangover.
Puking all day.
Yeah, but what if you have to go to work and you get stoned with 7-Up and Top Ramen on your breath and you roll into the office? You're not going to be good for anybody.
That's only, like, on the weekends.
7-Up, Top Ramen, and vomit.
Just drink on the weekends. Wow. If I could just drink on the weekends, I wouldn't have this problem.
All right. Again, a lot of work. I don't know that I can keep track of all that.
I'm not on board.
I start with the weed, and then I go, what was I supposed to drink? I can't remember. 7-Up? What was that? Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Cure my hangover, Stephanie.
Hangover cures.
Black olives.
Nope.
Black olives. Just by the jar? What do you do?
A handful of black olives when you wake up in the morning.
When you wake up, you eat black olives. How does that help?
I don't know. My grandmother used to own a gay bar when she was younger, and that was her cure, so she told me, and it helped.
Your grandmother owned a gay bar?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
My grandma was nowhere near that cool.
Mm-mm.
Maybe it's the salt. Maybe the salt in the black olives or something helps.
Maybe. I don't know, but I love it. It works.
All right. Well, that's better than the other ones we've heard so far.
What if the gay bar was called the Black Olive? The big African-American contingency would go there. Black olives.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Are you out of breath right now?
Hand check.
Are you running?
No, I was laughing because you said the African-American gay bar.
All right, sure.
Okay, my hangover cure is drink a lot of water and have sex.
Water and sex.
Yes.
You know, if I'm feeling nauseous, the last thing I want to do is pound it out, though, Chris.
Right, and nor do you want to subject the other person to that, because
it
doesn't
go
well.
Wrong.
It'll be awesome. Sex is a cure all for everything.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call.
You are helpful. You were very helpful. Thank you. No one has helped us so far.
I'm telling you, BC
these
powder.
Are all horrible.
I gave you the answer.
Stop with your cocaine.
BC
powder.
Know,
someone handed me one of these function drinks, Urban Detox.
Yeah, does that work?
We've had the doctor on who created this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked in the past, and I forgot we had this, so maybe this will help. We'll see.
Vitamin B12.
That's always a good one.
Gatorade. B12 is one of the things that you lose when you drink, right? That's why vitamin B12 helps, because it replaces it?
Yes, right. Alcohol does diminish your B vitamins in general. So
Huevos rancheros? Yeah, no thanks.
No eggs, really, for me.
I don't like any of these. These are all bad.
These are horrible.
Milk and aspirin? I'm not drinking milk. I'm not drinking milk if I'm hungover.
Nope.
All right, I'm sticking with my BC powder.
All right, good for you.
You guys are all gonna have to fend for yourselves.
Get some powder from Omar. That's the powder you're doing.
Take the Menudo or whatever, the 7-Up and the weed, whichever one you liked, and make that work for yourselves. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:53.
Wow.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
Look, it's been a
you
long day.
You don't know the difference between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
I know.
That's rough.
It's been a long day. That's all I'm
rough.
Saying.
Rough.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is a bad day to be Jessica Simpson. Well, I think every day is probably a bad day to be Jessica Simpson, but today's even particularly bad because the ratings for her new show, The Price of Beauty, are in.
Oh.
And nobody watched.
That didn't go well?
Monday's premiere attracted less than 1 million viewers. And that means the show got beat by a rerun of NCIS, a show on True TV called Operation Repo, the History Channel's Pawn Stars.
That's a good show.
Pretty much everything on television beat Jessica Simpson's premiere of The Price of Beauty.
What channel is her show on?
VH1.
Ooh.
So everything else on basic cable pretty much beat her. When I did Joe Schmo, we were doing better than 1 million viewers. So she is not getting a lot of eyes on her new show. The reviews have also have been mixed at best. New York Post called the show dopey and clueless. So, may not be a smash hit.
Mm.
I'll say.
Although dopey and clueless is a good band name.
It is not, it's not the Newlyweds, which of course was her very popular reality show. Speaking of wedding troubles, this is sad news. Sandra Bullock and Jesse James apparently on the rocks, if you believe the reports coming from People Magazine, In Touch Weekly Magazine. She has moved out of the house that they share, according to those reports, largely because of a story published in In Touch Weekly Magazine, an interview with a woman named Michelle McGee, who goes by the nickname Michelle Bombshell. She is a tattoo model, and she claims that she had a mad, passionate affair with Jesse James. Maintains it was pretty serious. They were having unprotected sex at least once a week, she claims. Texting each other several times a day. And apparently originally hooked up while Sandra Bullock was filming The Blind Side in Atlanta. So
I hope that's not true. He's a cool guy.
I hope that's not true, too. He's a very cool guy, and she seems to be a very cool girl.
Yeah.
But reports are that Sandra has moved out of the house and has canceled her appearance at the London premiere of The Blind Side due to unforeseen personal reasons. So I don't know if there's something to this or not. But I would like to think if the accusations were unfounded, that Jesse James could have convinced his wife of that, and then it wouldn't be a problem, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. She looks kind of like Jesse's type, though, this girl. Remember Janine Lindemuller, his first wife? It was very sort of sexy and tatted, too. So.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock is not the one you would have picked for him, but they seem like kind of a great couple.
They do seem very happy together. Lacey Brown was booted off American Idol last night.
Okay.
Not Lacey.
Yeah,
she
Lacey.
Was so... Good?
No.
Bad?
No. She's cute, but she wasn't good. As I said, I've given up this year, so I haven't watched, but in case you are watching, I wanted to give you a heads up. And The Apprentice, Donald Trump's show, doing very well for itself. NBC has picked up yet another go-around of Celebrity Apprentice, so after this one, we'll see at least one more. And NBC has also ordered a regular Apprentice season as well. We haven't seen the regular Apprentice for a while.
That's been a while, right?
The show has kind of lost favor, but an NBC spokesman says that for the newest edition, it'll be a freshening up of the concept, using contestants who have been personally hit by the recession. If they lost their jobs due to downsizing, or they're in dead-end careers, or they're recent college graduates with few job prospects, they'll get a chance to compete to work for Donald Trump on the regular Apprentice.
So I'm going to see the dude under my freeway overpass. I'm going to see him on that show?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
He'll be selling oranges to... our boy Donald
Might
Trump.
Be really good at it, too.
Well, you never know.
And Quentin Tarantino has his eye on Lady Gaga as a potential star for one of his upcoming movies.
A horror movie?
How dare you, sir.
He picks interesting people. He does. For sure.
He does.
He's a knack for that.
You know, he lent Lady Gaga the P-Wagon from the Kill Bill movies.
For what? A video
that she was doing, yeah. And he said he's been watching her and he thinks he'd like to cast her.
Huh.
As an assassin or something outrageous in one of his upcoming films, so maybe they'll be working together sometime soon.
She'd have to dress down for that part.
You think so?
Yeah, she tends
take
to
off a mask or two.
Be a little wildly dressed,
and wearing that burlap sack over her head that she wears sometimes.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 31 years old today. Dane Cook celebrates his 38th birthday. Queen Latifah is 40. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains turns 44, and Vanessa Williams is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for some Afro calls. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. If you'd like to leave us a message on any topic, I have always hated American Idol because I don't like the songs they sing, the originals.
Yeah.
So to have somebody that's not as good as the original sing it without being drunk, can't do it. But Bean and Ralph have been on board for a long time. Now they're both off, so I don't think anyone caught this.
I know you guys aren't big American Idol fans anymore, but somebody sang Fireflies. That happened. Hey, Omar, the time is now, dude.
The time is now.
Oh, we missed that.
Sang Fireflies. Come on.
I feel kind of bad that we missed that.
No, doesn't that tell you everything you want to know?
Yeah, but it could have been so bad it was good.
Could have been. 2 days ago, I was mocking Kesha with the dollar sign because she's bad.
Yeah.
And she talks with a little kid voice. And it just drives me.
I didn't realize how awful she was until you played those.
That was her good song, by the way. We haven't gotten to blah, blah, blah yet. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
This message is for Kevin. Kevin, quit hating on Kesha with the dollar sign just because she sounds like Elmo when she's singing. Listen to the lyrics. She's trying to teach all the young girls of the world to be whores.
Well, there is that.
But she's not. She's trying to teach them to be dudes. That's my problem. She acts like she's a dude. She talks about her junk. She talks about guys turning around and having sex. Well, how does that work? I'm just saying. I don't want little girls to learn to be dudes. Whores, fine, but not dudes. Speaking of which, we were talking about Roxy the sex robot.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I forget, Ralph made a joke. I'm sure it was Ralph, it wasn't me, about forcing yourself on the robot, which is acceptable. Because it's a robot.
Because it's a robot.
Right.
What can I buy, the rape robot? It's not for me, it's for a friend. Hey, how's it going?
Does that help you?
Not as good now.
Does that help you now?
No.
Another one hitting on Lisa.
Hey, Lisa May. I thought about you last night. I don't want to go into too much detail, but let's just say I had dreams of Californication.
Does that work?
Well, it was kind of clever.
Okay.
It was Cali and fornication.
You can give it a 5.
That was all right.
It was a 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Listening to the St. Patty's Day show. You guys are really funny. But I got one complaint. If I really know, I'm going to take that rigatron and shove it up his ass. God damn it. It's irritating the out of me, man.
That was hard to hear, but you couldn't understand Omar's what horn.
Yeah, it was that. And what happened was Omar got... He had a beverage, and we had to cut off his mic.
Adult beverage?
Right, so we had to cut off his mic because he wouldn't shut the F up.
Right.
So we turned off his mic, but we were unable to turn this off. So he started just hammering us with that.
The last hour is nonstop Omar's horn.
Every single time we tried to talk, he would play that over us. So I can understand how maybe that would have been a little annoying.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. I just wanted to say that one time on a flight to Bangkok, I was watching a Hitchcock movie, and during the film, the flight attendant asked if I'd like to visit the cockpit, and wouldn't you know, the pilots were drinking cocktails. I didn't know what to do, so I just imitated a rooster and said, cock-a-doodle-doo.
All right. No.
Yeah, I reject it.
I appreciate the effort. I just didn't work.
No.
It didn't work. You can do a thing called a text to landline where you actually text the words and then a computerized voice will call and leave the message.
I am Manny Ramirez, outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I love LA. Hey, pretty lady, I have a horn.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Glad this one's just about over.
Must have nap.
Very happy about that.
Must lay down, sleep now.
We like St. Patrick's Day parties. We wish they were on Fridays so that then you had a couple days to get your stuff back together.
Recover,
And head back to work.
Some people don't head to work.
That's true.
Some people don't recover. Some people just don't show up to work.
Mm-hmm.
They opt out.
And you know what they do? Do they call?
No.
They don't call. They
don't
tell
you. That would be ridiculous. Why would they give you a heads up?
They don't call and say, hey, I'm not going to be there today even though I'm supposed to.
Better to have everyone just scramble for their lives.
Right. So Omar's running around trying to figure out things because Beer Mug... And I guess we shouldn't be surprised. The guy's name is Beer Mug.
He's got a Beer Mug tattooed on his foot.
He does. Mugs?
Hello.
Oh, man.
Right. Now, here's the thing we know about Beer Mug. Drinks a lot.
He's a drinker.
Yes. But a pretty well-functioning alcoholic. Sometimes. I mean, for the most part.
Generally.
He'll if he knows he's got to be here, he'll show up here and sleep here.
He'll usually crash on the floor of the studio, yeah.
Never does he just not show up.
Yeah.
Well, not never.
Well, okay. Never until today. What happened this morning, Muggs?
Well,
because Psycho Mike is on vacation, so Beer Mug's supposed to be in the studio
to run the board for
us. Yeah. Because I'm a retard.
I go out last night, obviously.
Obviously.
And surprisingly, I usually have a deep awareness, even when I'm drinking, of what I have to do the next day, what time it is, where I have to be. So I kind of like prepare for that.
That's the functioning part of being an alcoholic.
Right.
Right.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was it's 7:20 and...
Last night or this morning?
This morning.
Okay.
The a.m.
The a.m. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
No!
Laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth, California. Nice.
Now, wait.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Was the bush near someone's house that you know or near a bar that you were at? Or
it was near a bar I was at.
Okay.
All right.
And
so you were sleeping in the bushes.
Yeah. And I guess I lost my car keys, but when I woke up, my phone... And I lost my house keys, but my phone and my car keys were strewn about across the sidewalk. So, like, everything was, like, emptied out of my pocket.
Okay. Do you think you let that happen or somebody went through your stuff?
Thinking somebody went through my stuff.
Okay, sure.
Well, what good's a drunk in the bushes if you can't roll him?
See what's there. He's got nothing, though.
And I'm assuming this is from the bushes, but my right arm looks like I tried to box a mountain lion.
You're all scratched up.
So you got scrapes on your right arm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You drunkenly tumbled into the bush and then just passed out there.
And I'm thinking that's what happened. Now,
who are you out with?
A couple of my buddies.
Where'd they go?
I have no idea.
They just abandoned you in the bush?
Well, they live close near, so I'm assuming they left. But yeah, I don't know what happened. I really can't. I don't have any explanation, really, what happened.
Yeah.
So it all went dark when? What's the last thing you remember last night?
Last thing I remember, I looked at my clock. I was like, it's 11 o'clock. I still have time.
Time for what?
You got to be here at 5.
Time to go home and get rest.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
You know, before I had to wake up this morning. And that is the last thing I remember. Despite me having a couple Irish car bombs, mm-hmm. I blacked out. I usually don't black out.
Do you think you really drank a lot, or do you think something else happened?
His nickname is Beer Mug.
No, but
it was St. Patrick's.
It was chamomile tea.
You guys, he makes it sound like he wasn't really drinking that hard.
No, if I sat here and told you, I only had
he would
a couple,
tell us the truth.
A couple.
I'd be lying to you. I had a good amount to drink, but like I'm the kind of functioning alcoholic that I know. I'm always deep down, my conscience is still kicked in.
Right. Sure.
What
was the word that we heard earlier this morning is that you thought that you had been
roofied.
Well,
is that true?
I've never experienced what, you know, it's like to be roofed.
Let me ask you a question.
Blacking out, not remembering what the hell happened.
Yeah, you've just graduated to a new level of alcoholism. That's all that's happened.
Let me ask you a question, and this will answer the roofie question. Does your ass hurt?
I knew you were going to ask that.
No
wonder your behind is bleeding.
All right, then, no roofie.
My ass does not hurt.
Okay.
My right thumb seems to be...
Because you fought a lion.
Badly sprained or broken, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, where are you now?
Still in the bushes?
No, I made it home. I'm lying in my bed right now.
Okay, good.
So you found your house keys?
No, I knocked on the door.
Wow.
And the people who stole your house keys opened and said, come on in.
We're almost done in here. We're just loading up the truck.
We're just about finished.
I don't know what feels worse, guys. My whole head or the fact that I didn't show up to the station this morning.
I'm guessing your head. It really is. This is one of the strangest jobs that you'll ever have because hungover is acceptable.
Yeah.
Not hungover, but still drunk. Is an acceptable excuse for not showing up to work.
No.
You can't do it a lot. You can't do it a lot. I'm saying you can't get it. Don't push it.
Yeah.
He only had 1 week to be here, Kevin, frankly.
That's true.
He had 1 week of work to do for us.
Technically 4 days.
But he loves to drink, and it was St. Patrick's Day.
Technically 4 days.
So he skipped one. One quarter of his assignment here has been missed.
So 25%. That's not bad. Is that bad?
I don't know if you guys remember or not, but the time we had our little intervention with me when I came back from Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
I was supposed to stop drinking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, now I think it's really going to happen.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you say.
Record
it's
going to
happen. No, don't record. Don't even waste your time. He's not going
to. Yeah. Omar's not going to drink either. Intern Gaga, she's quitting. Yeah, everybody's tough.
Hey, would it help you to know that Ralph bought a racehorse yesterday?
Congratulations.
Could have been worse, bud.
He didn't find out until he answered his email this morning, but he's a part owner and a racehorse, apparently.
I had a message on my cell phone this morning that my trainer wanted to know what we're going to name the horse.
That's awesome.
Name it Beer Mug in his honor.
I'm thinking Sharktopus.
Good. I like that, too.
Yeah.
All right, Mugs. What does it look like for tomorrow?
I'm going to be there.
What are you saying the odds are?
Early.
Just give us a ballpark. I mean,
15%, 20% you might show?
No, 100, 103.
103%.
Yeah,
that's a lot better than 100.
Yes.
All right, so it's 50-50.
We'll see you tomorrow. Take care of that fat thumb.
And I'm going to put some Neosporin on my arm.
That's
a good idea. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I will.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat for the day.
You know, for a while now, Jocelyn James, the porn star who slept with Tiger Woods, has been threatening to publish her sext messages that Tiger sent her. She's claimed she kept them all and was going to release them. And today she made good on that threat.
Hmm.
Release of the website Sexting Jocelyn James is the name of the website. And a lot of the news sources are picking up on the list of texts that she has a transcript of on that website, and I've got the list here in front of me, and I'm telling you, you can't read most of these on the radio.
Wow.
He's a pervy little dude, that tiger.
You think?
He must do all kinds of naughty things to this young lady. I'm going to read you some of them, though. The safer ones I can read. Starts off in July of 2009, when they're making plans to get together. Tiger texted, "I will leave an envelope at the front desk under Ms. Daniels. Your room will be 305. Get settled and let me know when you're ready to see me. I will be in the shower and clean."
Is that a problem?
Tiger said this one in August of last year. "I would wear you out. I would love to have the ability to make you sore."
Oh,
I don't,
man.
But I would love to have that ability.
Yeah. There's another text. "I would like to have a threesome with you and another girl you trust." Another text reads, "I want to treat you rough, throw you around, spank and slap you."
Wow.
Another text, "I'm going to slap your face, treat you like a dirty little whore."
Man.
I'm going to tell you to shut the F up while I slap your face and pull your hair for making noise.
Wow.
Have you ever had a golden shower done to you?
No, he did not.
Is that a question or did he write that?
Yeah, no, it's a question he asked to her via text. "I've never done it. I think I would get stage fright," he texted.
Why would he bring it up if he didn't want to do it?
Well, he's curious.
All right.
In fact, he says, just morbid curiosity when she responded to him. He also wrote to her, "Baby, I'm not going anywhere doing anything. You please me like no other ever has or ever will. I'm not losing that."
He sent that to a bunch of girls.
Yeah, apparently he did. That was October of last year. So if you want to see the whole list of texts, it is sextingjocelynjames.com is the website.
You can how do you spell Jocelyn?
See all the naughty things that I can't say right
That's
here.
A difficult name to spell.
J-O-S-L-Y-N. J-O-S-L-Y-N. Jocelyn James is her name. Sextingjocelynjames.com is the website, and you can read all the naughty texts.
Those are the only ones that you could read on the radio.
Well, there's a ton of they're just boring. I'll be over in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You know,
it'll be over in 10 minutes.
Maybe that.
The door will be open. You know, go on by. "You are my effing whore." "I want to hold you down while I choke you."
That is, he is a romantic.
"Where do you want to be bitten?"
Wow.
Yeah, things like that. So, Taylor Lautner is in the news today. He's becoming one of the top paid actors in Hollywood, having never opened a film in his own right.
Really?
He is doing a movie called Stretch Armstrong for Universal, which is based on a toy from the 70s, which was a doll that boys would play with that you could stretch.
That's right.
His name's Stretch Armstrong.
Because
they're building a movie around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting paid $7.5 million to play Stretch Armstrong.
Wow.
It's a story in the LA Times today dissecting this, saying why. Why is this guy getting paid much more so than Shia LaBeouf did at this stage in his career, or Zac Efron? They can't quite understand why he is getting the big money of all the teen stars. So
has to be because of the heat of the Twilight, right?
I guess.
I would think so.
Well, I mean,
but
what else
Twilight,
is there?
That property is what sells those movies. I can't imagine people are flocking to see Taylor Lautner not be able to act.
He's a wolf, right?
He's a wolf.
All right.
For example, Shia LaBeouf made less than $1 million for Disturbia, only $1 million for Transformers,
wow,
and only about $5 million for Indiana Jones.
Wow.
So
people but he got seven and a half?
He's got seven and a half to play a stretching dude.
Guy sure can stretch.
He can stretch. He's got that.
Tell you that.
I want to choke you and hold you down. Choke you. Slap you.
It's a little scary.
Tiger said. Conan O'Brien's close to getting a deal with Fox. According to LA Times, the deal will include him doing a late-night show at a 7 p.m. start time, which would give him a jump on Jay Leno and David Letterman shows. Daily Variety also adds that Conan's current live tour plans were actually conceived as part of a plan to help illustrate his fan base, to encourage Fox to sign him to the deal, and create excitement for the upcoming TV gig. And looks like it's working, because tickets are selling briskly for his national tour around the country. I don't know if you're a fan, like I am, of a band called Big Star. But Alex Chilton, lead singer for that band, has passed away at the age of 59.
I don't know anything about that band, really.
He was, they never sold a ton of records, but they were hugely influential to a lot of bands. Bands like R.E.M., The Replacements, Oasis, The Bangles, a lot of others have said that Big Star was a huge influence on their own sound.
Hmm.
They were supposed to play at South by Southwest this weekend, and so that's not going to happen. He was also lead singer for a band called the Box Tops back in the 60s. Had big hits called The Letter and Cry Like Baby. He was only 16 years old when he led that band. So he's been in the music industry for a long time.
No word as to how he died or what happened?
Let me see if it says here.
I haven't heard anything about
that. He had chest pains yesterday, went to the hospital and passed away, so I'm guessing it was a heart attack.
Yeah. That's young.
That's a drag.
Not good. That's what you're saying.
Not good at all. No. Neither is the news coming out about Sandra Bullock and Jesse James, one of Hollywood's favorite couples. We just saw him at the Academy Awards when she won her Best Actress Award, and it looks like there's some serious trouble at home, according to People Magazine and In Touch Weekly. Sandra has left the home that they share because of the story about a woman named Michelle McGee, who apparently, according to her, had an affair with Jesse James while Sandra Bullock was out of town, and they had been together for months.
That girl has a lot of tattoos.
She is well tatted.
Including her forehead.
Yeah.
Her forehead is tatted.
That's what she does. She's a tattoo model.
Yes.
She's professionally inked.
Well, yes. She's running out of space.
Michelle Bombshell McGee.
A lot of ink.
She is inked.
Yeah.
Forehead. She has the evil C word tattooed on her.
Does she?
Okay.
The phrase evil C word.
Oh, I see.
Is tattooed on her.
I thought you meant the actual word.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Not C word. I can't say what the actual word is, but it's that word.
Okay.
And a lot of people are saying on her Facebook page, oh, that's a proper branding for you, because you're breaking up this marriage.
Yeah, so good to come forward like that. That's excellent.
Yeah, well, whatever happened again to the days when mistresses would just shut the F up, keep it to themselves?
Maybe he made some promises and she got...
I don't know.
Whatever.
Don't you think it's
whatever with the lippy mistresses.
Don't you think it's the...
Lippy mistresses, by the way, are playing at South by Southwest this weekend.
So. You know, the 15 minutes of fame or the money or whatever that seems to draw them out a lot more now?
I guess. And a lot of babies in the showbiz news today. Christine Costner, Kevin Costner's wife, is pregnant with his seventh child.
Wow.
Amy Poehler and Will Arnett, they're pregnant once again. They have a 16-month-old toddler named Archie. They're adding another one to the family. I wonder how that's going to affect Parks and Recreation. Mm. She's going to get pregnant on the show.
Yeah.
And Danica McKellar, who was Winnie on The Wonder Years for a long time, she and her husband of 1 year, Mike Virta, are celebrating the pregnancy as well. So congratulations to those guys. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 31 years old today. Dane Cook celebrates his 38th birthday. Queen Latifah is 40 years old. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 44. And singer and actress Vanessa Williams celebrates her 47th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Adam Carolla back for This Week in Rage. Because it's Friday, that means we also have the movie beat. We have Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Oh, he's so great.
We're going to talk to him before, but we had to reschedule, so we're excited to have him on. That is a great show. High school chemistry teacher that makes meth. Doesn't get any better than that. And we're going to talk to someone from South by Southwest named Kat Corbett.
Not familiar with her work.
And, will we be able to understand?
I'm having a great time down here.
Ralph can do an impression. I guarantee she'll be in bed whatever time we talk to her.
Yeah, that was some great bed last night, guys.
She will have just gotten there. And if we can understand
she
her.
She won't be alone.
No, she won't.
There will be a band with her in bed.
So that's all tomorrow morning.
I'm doing the drummer now.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Kurt St. Scott James Thomas is next.
A lot of names.
I don't know who he is. Silver Sun Pickups. He's got your Slightly Stupid. He's got your Foos and Dead Country, a new song called Euro Thrash, coming up as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next.